Vice Chair.
December 18, 2014.
Kind of
fun. By Frederick. Sorry.
Scott. Smack you both.
It's not on the midline. The midline is right here.
You two would know about those spikes.
Totally. I'm going to put this up right here and just keep everything on that side. This is the middle. This is your side and this is my side, okay?
Is this thing running?
Yes, it's on.
Hello?
Oh my God.
Hello?
It's on.
It's a matter of record.
Oh, thank you.
Did you see the where the task group meetings are being held?
Remember the after task group.
Yeah, this one. This important one.
Oh, right, is that here, where the task groups are going to be as well?
Yeah.
In the same location?
Well, good luck spelling.
Officially not yet.
But there may be some.
But this is the most important task group.
I saw that, and I was planning on. I won't be there very long because I do. I could probably just do this, and you'd be like, uh-huh. Hey, are you going?
Yeah.
And are you going
to
leave at a decent hour? Are you going
to
just say one of these things like, blah, 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 I have to go, blah, 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 blah? Because you're going to say the same thing, right? Like, well, I'm going to stay, but I have to go, blah, 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 pick up. And
it only goes till 4:30. How far can it be? Go.
Pick up the Christmas cards, Walgreens, and then got to go get the
kids.
Got to go see the Christmas boats. Got to get home. You going to say that?
No.
Okay.
I wasn't planning.
Okay. I'll shut up.
And you'll show up.
What? I'm going to show up. We were looking for some words of wisdom to kick off the meeting with some people. You know how some teams do that? That everybody takes a turn saying like they bring something to share to kick off the meeting.
I
remember we had it. We had an e-web meeting that we did on FERC relicensing. And the facilitator, every kickoff of every meeting, was somebody's role or responsibility to bring something to share. No. Words.
Cookies.
You could read from.
I brought cookies.
There's going to be like.
Right. But generally, it was a quote, a short reading, something, you know.
A
song?
Anything that you could think would be.
A song.
Sure, anything.
Well, I would like
something
to
of inspiration.
Inform your education.
Okay. I think we have mostly everyone assembled in the room, so we're probably going to start
this?
Okay. Meeting.
Remember that.
Do we want to hear who's on the phone first?
What is this?
Good morning, I'm Charlie from Carlisle, Washington.
Okay, thanks, Charlie.
The further back you look, the further you can see. Winston Churchill.
Hey, thanks, Greg.
See, that's exciting. Talk about.
Hey, Ann.
Yes.
Hey.
Thanks, Russ. Hi.
The further back you look, the farther forward you can see.
Hi, Kathy. Thank you. Who is the second person?
Tom Iverson. Yes, my name.
Thanks, Tom.
Kathy.
That's good. See, that's good.
Blaine.
That's good. That's what I need.
He's from Walla Walla. And I think we heard Sherry Sears earlier.
Yes, here.
Is there anybody else on the phone?
Yeah, Julie Dumbia, DPA.
Okay, hi, Julie.
Ida Royer from Bonneville.
What is this?
Ida Royer.
Shane
Scott,
Power Council.
Stuff stuck on the end.
Hi, Shane.
You guys do know this is a face-to-face meeting, right?
Okay.
Okay, so maybe go around the table as well here. I'm Ann Sutter, Core Walla Walla.
Carl Duggar, Core McCary. Trevor Connor, Nolan.
Christy Peterson, BPA. And I think Tom is just out of the room. Tom Lawrence.
Okay.
He said he'd be there.
Eric Sandai, Oregon.
David Wills, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
Scott Benton, BPA.
Kyle Barrows, Pixel Heavy Industries, LLC.
Doug Baus, Core.
Scott Fielding, Core.
Gary Frederick Snelly.
John Ursich, Core.
Tommy Mackey, Core. And if you could make sure that you mute your phone, that would be great.
Yeah, somebody's doing a lot of shuffling on the phone. Perfect, that went away. Whoever did it, thank you.
Did Charlie Morrill call him?
Yes, Charlie Morrill.
I'm here, I'm
here.
Okay.
He was actually the first one.
And Lisa Wright just came back, so. Okay, so we're starting to hear some noise again, so somebody still needs to mute. Thank you. We got several other folks from the core, that the Portland projects, that just walked in the room for everybody on the phone to awareness. So we got Bob Forty,
Wertheimer, and Hausman.
Ben Hausman and Mr. Wertheimer. So
this isn't a face-to-face meeting.
Yeah.
Vice Robert.
Yes. Leave your weapons at the door. Okay, so first item on the agenda is to approve November FPOM minutes. Anybody have any issues with that, or can we go ahead and approve those?
Yes.
That's not on the agenda, Scott.
It's on the notes.
The second thing is, does anybody have anything else they want to, so I think we can approve the FPOM minutes for November. I didn't hear anybody make any statements. We want to know if anybody wants to add to the agenda.
One thing I want to talk about. What was that?
Someone made a noise out there.
Squawk.
Okay.
I only get one man, remember, Warshak. Unit number 3, rehabilitation.
Right. We're gonna put that at the beginning here under NWW action items, since we have Kathy Spillane on the phone. We'll talk about that just a minute. Go ahead, Gary.
I do want to talk about McNary debris.
Okay.
So I don't know if that was 8, the McNary screen cleaning. I'm not quite sure what that is, what screen, scheduled for January. Well, that can be okay for this discussion, but I do want to get to it before we get into the fish passage or finish the fish passage plan changes. So if we want to wait a month, that's fine if you guys want to shoehorn things in. But and there may not be something that we do here, but I do want to get a discussion of debris management. Possibly, I don't know if you guys have, is there such a thing as a debris management plan, Carl, that you guys have? Yeah.
Not specifically.
Okay. Because that's what I was going to ask for that. Then I started thinking, well, maybe you guys already had something that we could update. But what I'd like to do is, I've got a memo here that I put together yesterday. I didn't send it out yet because I want to talk to you guys a little bit about it first. But, well, we can talk about it on number 8, maybe, if that's what that's all about.
That was actually the screen cleaning that Carl has been updating us
right.
on. He's going to come back with more information.
That's on the dewatering screen in the.
Why don't we put it in that slot?
We can put it in that slot, and then we can talk about it a little bit there.
Okay.
The only thing we have close to a plan is what's in the fish passage plan.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay.
What we maybe could put together, and when we get there, we can talk about it, is just what our protocol is now, because that's kind of our
plan.
That'd
be a starting point.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll give you an update on what I've seen
basically
out there.
Our plan this year is get on it early and often.
Carl. I just want to get that in the record, I guess, and also talk about a couple other things. So that's it.
Okay. Does
Thank
anybody
you.
Else have anything for the agenda?
Yeah, did we get the Bell's two-sway foster runner operation back on the agenda?
We will have it. You can discuss that under
other.
Okay.
Under.
I could laugh.
Is that at the end?
I'm getting energized.
Okay. So.
Welcome back.
For Walla Walla under action items, I'll start with Penny will update the MOC. We received a updated MOC from Chris. It was 25 pages long. We said, wow, this is just not, doesn't fit with the way we do business, so we need to have this summarized, and so we're going to be working with him to get that into a smaller document.
This was what? This was, sorry?
This is the from MOC
who?
From Chris Penny for the Lord Grant and temperature work.
Okay.
Anyway.
That's, that sounds like Chris.
Push that one out.
He's very thorough.
We're going, yeah, it was a little too all-encompassing, and so we're going going to try to downsize that into something. And really, this is more for the record at this point. You know, a lot of this has been being discussed at Bitterwigs. I think people know where we're headed there. But we did commit along those lines to regularly have just an update in FPOM of where we're headed with the temporary fix. The temporary fix then is that we are pursuing rental pumps. And hope to have them in place by before the 1st of July. So that's our plan. I have been working to try to get a project manager assigned. We have been working in-house to get resources associated with the potential for using just electrical pumps without a generator this year, and that's been a considerable hurdle over the last several weeks trying to get some electrical engineering resources because our district is extremely short on those and has difficulty recruiting as well as just some other human resource elements that have played into that. So I think we're on a path, and that's kind of the update for right now. It hasn't changed too much from a couple of weeks ago, except that I am supposed to hear today a name. I did pin someone down earlier this week that does some of that workload management. They had a meeting today, and they are supposed to give me a project manager name, and so that's progress for me. I've been trying to get that for a month, so I'm hopeful that I'll get that today. And so anyway, just planning to give kind of occasional updates in an informal manner is really how I'm headed here unless we run into something substantial. So I think we can be successful. I think we can hopefully be more timely than previous years and be prepared.
And hopefully
and that's what the effort is all about. So that said, we had kind of a new MOC come onto the table that got sent out yesterday. I did bring copies for anybody that hadn't read their email, and I wanted to just allow Greg Moody and or Kathy Spillane to talk about this. This is Dorshak Unit 1 Rehab. It's out in the future, but similar to what we did last year for Lower Granite and Lomo when we were going to do Unit 1, we came
in. Unit 3
Okay.
The big unit.
Okay. We came in last May, originally discussed it, and then just to get people the opportunity to read through the MOC and then, you know, have time for some comments. So if either Greg or Kathy would like to take, you know, 5 minutes and just give a overview of why it was important to put an MOC together and how you chose the time frame for this work, I think that would be beneficial to folks.
Yeah, if you look at, well, as you review this thing, as we talk about this unit-free rehab, it definitely needs to be done. It hasn't been done for an extremely long time. And a big problem developed while Unit 3 was out in earlier this year, and so we look at that situation, too, to encompass that thing. But the schedule for this Unit 3 outage was going to be, is designed to maximize the use or work period that we have for it. It's going to be an 8-month outage, I mean a long period of time. And so the team decided to come into about the 1st of September, and this will be in 2016, to start, you know, unloading the unit and get it ready and prepared for the construction or rebuilding. I mean, they're going to do a lot of work as you read through this MOC. This 8-month period, of course, is going to last until about the first part of May, when it will be commissioned and hopefully ready to run for flood control season at that time. And this is working just before, you know, just to make sure that this is ultimate condition. This is the best conditions we'd have for it. You know, 8-month work, ready to go by May 1st, ready for the summer, you know, full augmentation, ultimate starting in July, you know, for the Lower Snake River. But if problems develop, if things are uncovered while construction, while reconstruction is going on, we want to use this buffer time after the 1st of May, which could last up to about 45 days, as you can see, to get repaired. So if we use another 45 days after the 1st of May, that brings us right into June, mid-June. Very close to where we're supposed to start our flow augmentation for the Lower Snake River at that time. So this is the reason we want to start about the 1st of September. And judging and using the plan that we used this year in the SORs over, you know,
been working through those SORs when Dorshak number 3 was out this year. I listed all the SORs and the operations that we did on the very last page there, and it showed exactly what we can do obtain. A couple of good things that may occur between then and now, and one, of course, would be the construction of the loaf of the chimney and at the, you know, the face of it, or the, in the pool for the user 14 and the ladder at Lower Granite Dam. That would be in, that would be constructed and completed long before this operation going on. So it'd have cool water running into the ladder at Lower Granite during the months of, you know, the summer months of 2016 before we start our work. And in 2017, and so it's going to be fine and dandy like that. Also, at the same time, we're looking at construction of gas strippers for the hatcheries there at on the North Fork Clearwater. Those should be installed here next year, too, so that would take care of a lot of the TDG problems that we may have in the future there, too. So,
well, hey, Greg, before you dive, this Gary, before you dive on there, that doesn't take care of the TDG issues in the river, which that's the one thing that I would be concerned about getting into May. We've had a lot of problems with that over the years. And we don't have any waiver that I know of, state of Idaho. So that's one issue that if you go into those 45 days, you're going to have to deal with that. And
that's the TDG river. It's a gas where inside the hatchery there itself.
Yeah, that'll take care of that. I mean, you can you can degas, yeah. But the river itself, the Clearwater North Fork and on down the Clearwater, you've got rearing Chinook and steelhead and.
You're just playing this as a kickoff for today to say there's an issue coming because there is a lot of river implications to storing water.
I understand.
Out.
I know there's a lot more to this.
So, I mean, today's just an FYI.
It's a way in advance FYI.
Yeah. 16.
Exactly.
Yes.
Well, I'm bringing up an issue.
We just want people to bring up issues now. Yeah. So if there's something for Kathy is the project manager that's on here. She worked with her PDT, which is the team of technical engineers, to kind of develop this MOC. And if people had questions today, obviously, you know, we had a little bit of an example last year of how when flow augmentation is disrupted, when the project can't release given amounts that there are in river impacts, whether it be TDG and or temperature as well.
Yeah.
So
you're probably
this
pretty
is
good.
Backing it up to 2 weeks of time when normally we are still undertaking flow augmentation processes those
right.
first 2 weeks of September.
Right. Yeah.
So I got
to hopefully get things done before the 1st of May and we won't run into higher problems, higher TDG problems in the river.
Yeah, that's the biggest issue that I can think of.
That's a good point, Gary,
really.
You have to be aware of.
Yeah.
So, Greg, this is Dave. I got a question for you. You can. You said the extra TDG strippers will go in the hatchery this next year. Is that a summertime project? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
It's to finish up the other half.
Right. Right. I just wanted to get a rough time for it. Okay.
So September 1st. Generally, in the last couple of years, we've been in somewhat of a temperature issue around September 1st still, and that usually doesn't go away until about the 15th. If we slide to the 15th, then that will slide you later on the other
yes.
end into May, which reduces your flood risk control, I guess,
right.
and temperature problems. But I'm hoping that the temperature control structure that we build or at Granite temperature improvements will compensate for that issue.
At least for the dam, for
if
the ladder.
If we don't, then, I mean, shifting into the 15th might be something
we have. Well, it doesn't help the river any. It's just going to help the ladder itself. So.
Yeah,
and,
right.
you know,
so
we'll have less cool water to work with.
When we see the type of year we're in, so since we are talking about this out in advance, I think that's... why we had these people listening in as well, you know, obviously to understand concerns that are out there. So it's perfect just to be,
get the capacities down without that unit and understand what the spill levels
big,
might
big
be.
Fix, or is this
So, Kathy, how would you explain this? Is this the big fix or the medium fix? You're going to tear the unit apart again.
This is, I'd say, the big fix because with the windings failing this year,
That gave us a great opportunity to go in there and do a full-blown inspection, and that's when we realized the linings are going to fail in the future. I'm not going to say it's going to be tomorrow, but we did see the condition of them to be in less fair shape than we had thought they were. We also got to look at the core. We had anticipated only reusing the core and fixing hot spots, but by looking at the core, we were able to determine we needed to replace that also. That's what's caused us to have to come back to FPOM and ask if we can have it by September 1, because when you put in the new core, it added significant time to our schedule, but it also required us to do an alignment, which means recentering the unit.
A participant has joined the conference.
So the recentering of the unit has added a couple more weeks to our schedule.
We talked
to the industry to see what we can do to speed things up. It may cost us more, but they've told us that if we change out the frame, that may help also. But our industry has told us that the schedule we've already proposed to them is extremely tight.
Yeah, I would say so for this.
This normally takes a year, doesn't
yeah.
it?
It is normally yeah. a year to go into a unit this large.
Yeah.
So we have divided it up into two segments. The second segment will be the head cover repair. You may or may not have been informed about the head cover repair that was to occur, I think about a year or two ago.
Is that going to be cedar or
will? It's going to be a complete redesign of the head cover. We're conducting flow tests here in February of 2015 to determine if we can increase the efficiency of the runner. And if we can, we plan on replacing the runner also.
Okay.
That's
anybody
going
else?
To be like a couple years or two or three years after the winding replacement.
That's why we kind of figured out what the it was, because there were a really long list of things. Yeah.
So that would be out in like maybe 2018, and that would be more like 6 months, 4 months?
We're looking at 2019, 2020, depending on what we find out about the runner. A runner can take 2 years to build.
Yeah, I can take a
lot. By the time you do the design and do the build, you've got to do a lot of testing.
Does Russ Kiefer on the phone?
We're not in a rush on the runner.
Russ Kiefer was on the phone.
I didn't hear.
Okay.
He is.
Any of the other reps have a comment?
And Charlie, I'm a devil's advocate on this one, but what would the group think about starting in August if we think the chimney will provide cooler water to give us a more likely scenario of being not drawing late into May or 45 days after the 1st of May to follow the spring?
Well, think about the whole system there, Charlie, and in order to cool the forebay, the cold water comes from Dorshak.
Yeah,
so
I'm thinking about that, and I just wanted to toss that out because
juvenile,
it's a balance,
adult,
it could be a tough balance.
Trade-offs.
Right.
There's trade-offs.
So,
So
do you want to put this on next agenda or two months out, or how much time do you want to?
Can I pipe in on the August date?
Yep.
We
didn't think we could make it.
Okay.
We didn't reflect it because by the time that we get the contract awarded, it's only going to give our contractors 11 months to do long lead items that normally take 12. So we're already going to be pushing them to make a September 1.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you. That's for the clarification. I'll take that off the table. Yeah.
So the end date for comments, I don't think we had one on the form that went out, at least the form I saw. When were you expecting to try to have this, the final approval, if that's what we get?
Well, I'd like to hear what an approval basically for this operation. I'm sure others may need to talk to other people on their chains a little bit about this, but let's look at, possibly next month at the latest, before FPOM next month for a finalize of this thing. See if we can address your comments, if there is any. Get some clarification. Gary put out a very good idea. I mean, PDG.
I'll throw out a comment again that TDG in May can be an issue, that we do have data, several years of data from our spill efforts in spring at Dorshak to look at, And I would think the Corps should at least look at the risk associated with going into even late April and May just to see what levels of gas we might see, given, you know, crystal balls that we have, and some of the impacts that that might have on resident and anadroma species that are in that river.
Well, and I think it would be, it also, Kathy, this is Doug Baus, and there's another regional forum where this operation is talked about quite extensively. Yeah. Specifically, the Nez Perce tribe generally has quite a bit of feedback regarding this August and September operation, the 1535 down to the 1520. So if the intent here is to get early buy-in, I just would think it would be really important to get some feedback from the Nez Perce tribe. Happy to hear Russ Kiefer's on the phone. Happy to hear Charles Morrill is on the phone. But a lot of those agencies are pretty vocal about spring outflows out of Dorshack for juvenile outmigration as well as summer augmentation flow. So I think to the extent, I would be happy to call you after this and follow up. But appreciate you getting this form out so early. But I just think it would be in the Corps' best interest to get some buy-in from some specific agencies that generally voice some pretty good concerns or have some requests during the summer and spring months.
So a concerted effort, and I think Dave Statler is our rep here.
Correct.
From the Nez Perce tribe, to make sure that we get some comments before we assume, if everyone else agrees to approval here before the next FPOM, that we've had some comments from Dave.
Maybe very helpful, yes.
Dave Statler.
Yeah, it necessarily won't be approved here. I mean, it'll be a recommendation from FPOM, but I think TMT is going to have to weigh in a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a system.
I guess that's what you're kind of trying
it's
to
really
suggest.
It's really a system
issue. We're briefing it here, but that's going to be
great.
Season
yes.
management, and likely the final decision on timing will have to be made at TMT.
Not sure I'd go that far, but I think it's helpful. I mean, because getting back to Kathy's, you know, if she's working with contractors now getting things set up, the earlier we can get some agency support or concerns addressed now, my expectation wouldn't be this would be coordinated at TMT in the month of August. By that point, the ship's left the harbor. So to the extent we can button up whatever agency concerns are now, to the extent we can, as far as coordination and TMT would go, it would be more of a notification, in my opinion, at that point. But I just think it's really important we hear from Russ Kiefer and Charles and Dave Statler and some others as well. So, and Kathy, I'd be happy to follow up after this meeting with you as well. Thank you for getting this out so soon. This is really helpful.
That unit is, I'm trying to remember,
5K.
Like 10 or 10K?
It's 5K.
The 3?
So it's 5, 2.5, and 2.5.
Okay.
And so usually...
So Doug, would you want to put this on the next TMT agenda just as a heads up?
Can we, I guess I just, we always have this enjoyable situation when we marry regional forums. Can I talk a little bit more with core staff internally and we'll try to develop a strategy which is most efficient for everybody here?
All right.
So right now we'll move forward that it's in FPOM and we'll give people up until the next FPOM meeting to have any more comments than what we've heard today. And based on what we've heard today, if we can shore up within this MOC addressing some of those concerns or at least adding some additional information that identifies the risk for that later time frame as Gary has suggested, and then we'll be ready to let it sit until such time that we get closer.
Okay. Yeah. Do you guys identify any work for units 2 and 1 and 2 during this period?
I'd like not to at this time. I'm 3.
Well, no, but I mean, one of the things that we have to factor in is, do we have the other two available?
Is there a risk?
Well, yeah, that's a big assumption.
There is a risk.
There is, but what's the risk?
Well, we'll have to have some assumptions as to what unit one and two.
I assume it's not scheduled, but there's always potential.
Well, their annuals are usually done in the fall, and so maybe some planning for this year to make sure that their annuals are done earlier in the year is what Scott's asking for.
Yeah, okay, I understand that. I'll talk to Larry on that stuff.
Three annual was scheduled for 2016, so we're trying to just take that spot.
Okay.
Good.
And this is Russ.
Yes.
And, yeah, obviously we're going to be very interested in this work. We do support getting it done. One of the things that I would like to see in the memo coordination is... some type of description of impacts to
flood control and flow augmentation, not just summer but also spring. It's likely with planning to have turbine one out, you know, in April, means we're going to be going into that spring probably with flood control that will require us to keep that reservoir lower until we get that turbine back online. And that'll likely impact some spring flow augmentation that we have used in the past out of Dvorak. We'd like to see that in there as well.
Okay. Spring flood control with unit one out, or you mean unit three?
Right, right.
Unit three.
Okay. Gotcha.
So the flow, any flow augmentation that would be altered by the proposed time frame, as well as flood control operations potentially, is what they're asking, and that marries well with Gary's concern for TDG in the spring.
Yeah, because you'll have to cut back possibly.
In the September ramp as well, we have a prescribed ramp down to 1520, and if this impact, because normally it's just a nice little stair step, and now that we have a 5K wonk out of there, we only have 2.5 and a 2.5, so.
Right, but we normally can spill up to 5. I mean, so there's, you can get the water out. The fall draft isn't as impacted by this. It's making sure you get to full and have
the
water out.
Yeah, and Charlie, you've given us such a good window of opportunity to look ahead on this. I'm kind of thinking that maybe you play the scenario without Unit 3 simply for a model exercise this coming year, because we may learn some things in thinking, oh, if we were in this situation, how would we manage it? And it may show us some insight as to what we may have to do when you actually undertake the work.
Right. But Charlie, we're going to look at it with all the 80 years running through it to give you a sense for what it can do.
Yeah.
And you're starting to jump forums a little, because that tends to be more something they'll TMT. Do in the water management forum on TMT, Charlie. I mean, we can do it here, but...
We'll handle it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Any further comment on that?
I'm not sure that I made that comment clearly. We had the chance to exercise what we would do in 2000 and look for things that may help you to the work.
Well, Charlie, what I would suggest is if you have a comment that you think is not being clearly articulated to the group, why don't you put that as a comment to this MOC so that it's clear, very clear to folks?
Yep, I will do that.
Okay. Just one comment to that, too. We're going to have the P&S has got to be complete by 1st of May 2015, so by then we need to know what the outage window is going to be, everything, so get this thing forward. Go move forward, okay?
So there's a little bit of work between now and the next FPOM meeting to shore up some information that's been requested to the best of our ability, so folks know what our plan is.
Great, thank you.
Okay, I think we're ready to move.
Thank you, Kathy.
Okay, dropping off.
Ready to move to the Portland action items.
I have left the conference.
So the first one there is Mr. Wertheimer and Gordy on the Dow's avian hazing performance standards.
Yes. Ready? So last FPOM, I had sent some information out about whether or not we had boat haze or shore haze and what years we did that and how it matched with the performance testing. And we went off the work plan, and the work plans were not entirely accurate because we did do some adjusting during the season, and we're finding some information where we actually did do boat hazing. 10 and 11. 10 and 11 are the years that are most in question because of steelhead.
Yeah, because of the standard.
Right.
Yeah, that's the study, the performance studies.
So it looks like we did do boat hazing all those years.
Okay. So what we need to do is figure out a way to assess effectiveness of what we're doing now relative to those years, I think. I mean, what we want to do is make sure that we keep the 2011 type hazing effectiveness. It doesn't have to be the exact same methods, but the effectiveness. So we're kind of circling back to where Nathan was maybe a couple years ago, but I'm not saying that for every project. For these projects where we've used the bird hazing as our excuse for missing the standards and then improved the hazing and our deterrence and therefore met the standards, and that's the cause or the one of the causes. I know there was a huge difference in flow years between those 2 years.
But another aspect that's important.
We need to have a, we need to have some link there between that and now, so we keep that going forward. That's my point.
There's also quite a few additional lines were added between 10 and 11. Right?
There was. I know. There was more than that. That's not the point, really. It's more the effectiveness of the
work that's being done. Well, yeah, I think that speaks to the effectiveness, because that's when we saw the bird shift.
You may be able to say that you're as effective now as you were in 11 without boat hazing, and that's fine, but let's figure out a way to assess that. So, you know, that's, I think we need to have that, because we're seeing some problems up and down the river. We're not making standards at several projects, and we've found out that John Day missed out, and so did McNary this year, and Lomo.
Yeah.
Haven't even started with Ice Harbor yet, but who knows? So, you know, these
well,
are.
Lomo was 0.1, but Hughes was quite there.
Yeah, so, well, and, you know, John Day was a bit off, so. McNary, I think, was a little closer.
Yeah,
for subs.
Under, I think, for subs.
Just barely, yeah. But I mean, I think it's important that we try to, that we at least keep the hazing activity when you're doing your performance standards, whatever you've done there, we need to be as effective. So we need a way to measure that, at least for a little while, to make sure that whatever we have going out there as a program, the appendix that goes into this plan this year is effective and meets the expectations that we've set out of the biop.
So. Yeah, for this one, we missed steelhead the first year by like half a percent.
Yeah, it was like half, or I think it was 95.3 or something like that.
The second year was like 99.3.
We jumped way up. Now, you got a huge flow benefit there, too, but the argument I've heard from the Corps of Engineers is we can forgive that miss if, you know, you consider that we've done all these other things that really got a big benefit. So those other things need to continue. They can't just be for that year just to get over the bar and then let them go away. So right. We need a way to kind of
evaluate
that.
Well, the benefit of that, the additional lines is that we didn't move the birds downstream of the bridge.
Right.
So we bought and worked on
well, and that gets out of your measurement zone for your standards, too. So that's to your to
well,
the core.
Well, no, when it comes to the, we looked up the where the downstream array was, and of course it's not at the bridge.
It's a bit further down. Down. Right.
It's not about halfway between the bridge and the marina, roughly.
Oh, is it that far?
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, I guess it is.
The distance from the dam to the bridge.
Okay.
It's again, as far as.
Okay, as that, okay. Yeah. The hydraulic influence.
So we added to the fish passage plan this year the avian monitoring,
right.
And that was an effort to maintain awareness on an annual basis of effectiveness. What we don't have in the fish passage plan is the history, which is what you're asking for here. Where were we at? 2011. Is that, I think we left it the last time that these guys were going to gather some information and decide whether you needed further discussion, right, outside of FPOM?
Well, the main thing we had to do is just nail down what did we do those years, both
okay.
Shore haze.
Right.
There's a lot of confusion there because the work plans are saying that we shore haze 1 year and
right.
Boat haze the next year.
Right.
But
well, I guess what I'm saying is
we were adapting in season, and we actually did get the boat hazers out.
What Bob's saying is that there's more, or at least not the wires, but at least the hazing part was more active in 11 than it is now. That's what I'm hearing. So what I want to know is, because of that, are we still getting the same benefit that we were getting in 11 with a reduced hazing effort? So how we get at that, we need to figure out. I don't want to get back into a huge study of bird consumption rates.
I think a straightforward approach would be to look at the counts that the project's done on birds and 12.
Right. I'd like the FFU to actually take a look at that and come up with a way of doing it.
Yeah, I think we could just look at raw foraging bird counts, and I think that'd be it.
Give us a method. Let's put that in the appendix maybe next year. It doesn't have to be this year, but it's something that we work out. It's just a simple, you know, method. I'm not looking for consumption rates and shooting birds and looking at gut contents and all that. I just, you know, based on our counts or based on what
guys are doing at the project? Can we get sort of a baseline constant?
So what it sounds like you're asking for is that we come up with either a median or a median and a range of when we're doing performance standards at a project of the birds that we have, maybe by a couple species or by color.
By color.
And then if and when we have a year where we're outside that range, we would have to come back and talk about the effectiveness issue.
Yeah. So I think, you know, I'd like to see, rather than chew it out here, if you guys can just take a look at it. I know Nathan's really close to this, so if you guys don't mind taking a look at that and maybe give us some ideas how that would go forward in the future.
Yeah, I can work with Cordy's crew to compile the article.
I mean, this would be...
All the numbers, we'll just crunch it and we'll have the comparison for the next step.
But it's sort of the methods I'm looking for, you know, because this would apply to all
the... So you're talking about above and beyond the current level of monitoring that's taking place at all eight projects?
No, it doesn't have to be. It can be whatever you want to come up with. I'm just looking for a measure, a way that we can...
To compare year to year.
Yeah, but we can look year to year and see that we're in the ballpark.
Yeah, there will be exact. The RPA of monitoring predaceous birds, and if there's an issue.
If it's just numbers or if it's effort, you know, those are it's a simple thing, I think, but I just want to have some measure in there. Dave.
Yeah, I think the measurement.
Dave.
I think that's needed. But as you mentioned before, somebody did, the flow in 2011 was really
it was high.
Off the charts. And so now you're trying to determine if. You just can't look at the avian predation without taking the flow into consideration.
I don't know how you, you know, that gets us into a different discussion.
Thinking about it.
Yeah, that's a different discussion. That can happen with, you know, the performance standards, and we get into that discussion of whether the action agents have made it or not, because that's, you know, I mean, I was worried about that over the years, too, and we've had those discussions. But I just want to nail down one part of this, which is what our part is here.
It could be something that these guys could develop along the lines of the range that different annual flows might play into the variation around the range.
Maybe between 2010 and 2011, and I don't know, something. But the flow needs to be taken into account.
I understand what you're saying.
Do we want to include 12, or is the concern only 10 and 11 where we look at steelhead? Then 11 or 10 and 12, we looked at subs.
So is this site project specific area you're asking for, or is it overall?
Overall, we're in areas where we think that bird. I mean, a lot of the dams, I don't think it's a bird issue, so I don't think it's really worth worrying about too much. But the Dalles was.
Yeah.
So that if we're starting to miss some of our standards, then I'd say that. To the extent that that could be bird-related, those are going to be important thing. I don't know what else we're going to do at some of these dams, but avian is one thing that comes to mind.
About whether it's just 11 or 12.
Right. So 10 and 11, we did steelhead and yearling. And 10, we did steelhead, yearling, and sub-yearling. 11, we did steelhead, yearling. But we skipped the subs because the flow was too high. And then in 12, we did subs only. So the question is, do we want to look at all 3 years? Or is just 10 and 11 the main concern because the steelhead was short?
That's the argument. I think more. This is more of a general question of can we, when we're doing these performance studies and we have a project set up the way it's set up, you make the standard. Can we maintain that? And I'm seeing concerns with dollars and cutting back on activities, hazing activities and things like that, and that bothers me. So I'm okay with that as long as we can maintain the effectiveness of what we do relative to those other years. But if that starts to fade away, then I think we have an issue.
Yeah, it's really hard to nail down. I mean, really, the only thing we have is some of the work that FSU did to show how efficient or inefficient wells are.
I think looking at the counts over time is going to give us a trend line that we need. I think that is going to be the metric. It's something that's fairly, you know, easy to attain. And as long as we kind of keep things standardized, it'll be comparable year to year.
I'm good with that. I think that's what we're after here. I'm not after a per goal consumption rate. Maybe we can go there, but And I'm not.
We have that in the other old reports.
Yeah, and you can use that. But I mean, it really comes down to how many gulls are there versus one year to the next, and are you effectively keeping them away from the fish?
All right, here we go.
Okay.
Give us a metric.
So you guys will come back when you have some more information, maybe in a couple months. Or
Dave, you're still.
Any time frame that you're looking at. Half,
a comment.
I would expect my next F-bomb.
Okay.
Probably
appropriate.
The next F-bomb is early January.
Yeah, so second January. Thursday, it's like. What is it?
Eight.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So
save it for January.
It's going to come pretty fast. You might want to wait till February. You'll have to see with the holidays whether you have time.
January. But you have to come back.
Any other comments on that?
Okay, so we'll hear more about that in either January or February at the FPOM.
Yeah, we think we can pull it off in January. We're just going to get the data together, so we'll take our best shot at it.
Okay, great. Next one is Bonneville Ice Trash Sluiceway Gate Installation. Ben.
Yeah, we're still shooting for that same time frame, but I just wanted some clarification. On what folks want to see fish impact wise. I talked to Gary about
Yeah, and I sent you guys, I sent Brian an email that kind of clarified what I was looking for. So, yeah. And I've never heard anything back from you guys, so I don't know where that's at.
That's pretty clear, and the only other thing on here was that Mr. Wills had concerns about
right.
the one unit operation.
So you need to wait a month. Punt this to January, bring it up again.
Okay.
Joe may not have any clue what's going on, so.
Yeah. But I mean, that was our plan to move forward with that. We have time, obviously, to tweak it.
Well, it comes down to one unit operation or not a powerhouse one. That's what Dave was objecting to, the one unit. And we said, well, Tom and I said, as long as you get down to one unit over there, keep it to one unit, we're good with doing that work. But Dave said, I'm not so happy with that. So that's what it comes down to.
Wishes were vicious.
Wishes were vicious.
Okay. Are we done with that one?
I think so.
So you got to put an MLC together and kick it out there sometime in the next whatever.
Okay, you know, Jeff Fryer's not in here. He has the next one. He did bring a handout for anybody that didn't pick it up, and I suspect
this action up. Item was only a course to remind Fryer.
Okay.
So Fryer's actually on the agenda later.
Okay. I spoke to him.
He's
earlier
kind of,
this
he'll
week.
Be here.
Oh, okay.
Later.
So basically, he was saying he was going to talk to Gary.
He better
so
be here.
Gary can fill us in. Did you guys talk this week about?
No, I have a standing question.
It's on the agenda
question.
For later, so we can move on to the next one.
So you're telling us to shut up.
So the next one was going to the Fitterwig agenda, and it was Miro, and I don't see Miro here.
Miro's not here. So
that's a pass to Fitterwig. Completed action items or later. NWW updates. The one update that we had was for people's awareness that our biological services, which is the transport-related support out of the projects that works closely with SMP, that's going out for solicitation in mm-hmm. January. A little bit of concern there. We're trying to work with that to see what we can do with that.
Could you tell me exactly what that means? I mean, who is that?
Well, it's interesting. It's a really challenging situation because at most of the dams, it's maybe one of the bios is funded on the core contract, and
uh-huh.
then the bulk of the other staff are funded on the SMP contract. We've had some, so I brought this earlier this week to the attention of our Lieutenant Colonel. He asked that we interface with division, and I did in the last 2 days. You know, long term, we are going to ask Division to work similarly as they did for Portland on some sort of exchange in funding, if possible, with Bonneville, but that's not something we can get in place for March this year. So what we are looking at is we're going to attempt a sole source. We're not sure if we'll be successful at this point in time. That hasn't been vetted at all internally. The ramifications are huge because what we have out on the street right now is another source is sought. And if we have a couple small businesses again we potentially start down a path that limits, you know, who can play in that game. So we are trying to work it to minimize the disruption of what seems to be a system that works pretty well. We do have laws and rules, and at this point, I think that's all I can give you.
Is okay.
That we're looking at options. We have elevated this to senior levels. We're going to do the best we can to try not to have a disruptive
process.
So try
to go sole source. If you can't, then...
Yeah, we don't.
Who knows what's going to happen.
Exactly. Yeah. So okay. we'll know more probably as we get towards February.
And this would be, this would affect at least one of the personnel at each of those projects?
Yes, I suspect. I know that when I had the SMP at Goose, it was the seasonal bio that was the one that was 8 months on the core contract. Mm-hmm. And in general, the full-time bio, the 12-month bio, and a tech or whoever supported some of the data collection was generally on the SMP contract.
So they would be affected. So it's right. One of their staff then probably. Yeah.
But there's a real intertwining of these programs over time, and so we're trying to build on that if we can, because that's, you know, it's the same data from a condition standpoint that we share back and forth.
Are you
going to
have
SMP? Hold on, Charlie.
Charlie, could you just wait a second? Dave is talking.
I was just asking Ann if the Corps had plans to sit down and solicit comments or concerns from SMP just to make sure the bases are covered.
Well, it's really kind of outside of our process. They've been made clearly aware of what's going on. The staff that are affected, John has talked with them, so John's our okay. COR. They are not aware that we're trying to do a sole source with PSMSC. That's just evolved like last night.
Okay.
But, you know, I think...
I guess I was thinking more in the terms of because there is a lot of overlap there.
Right.
Letting them make sure they're aware of what's going on and just give them an opportunity to bring up any concerns in case the Corps hasn't thought of them. I don't know.
Right. So I think...
Person hours or something. I don't know.
I think they're here.
Are they? Okay. All right. I just want to make sure.
Okay, so
who the division is working?
So Mike Langsley has been a point person. Okay. We originally contracted okay. with Rock. Rock picked Mike, so we're working with Mike. And we'll see. Well, yeah.
It took 2 years for us
and
to
that,
finish that process.
That's what
and
he
it's
said.
Not even
and they took for Bonneville, you were 3 months into another one and you weren't close. And so our issue is not so much that we don't have the funds, it's just that we don't have the mechanism for the continuity within our legal constraints. And so we're trying to see if there's any way from the standpoint of, say, bridge funding for existing to carry it for 1 year to give us time to negotiate. We have no idea where we're headed right now. But that just wanted to bring it up for people's awareness. So I think we can keep moving from there. The next
yeah.
thing. Oh, sorry, Charlie, you were a little too quiet for a second. What would you like to say?
Well, I think you've done a very good job capturing the difficulties that you're that are involved with this contract process. Very grateful to hear that you are looking at a sole source. I think you captured it very well that the impact on the marriage of the two contracts and the staff of each of the projects. It is intertwined. The call recording program, the touchscreen, the digitizer, is all blended to serve both the core contract and the SMP in the region. So I appreciate the level of concern and your efforts to address that. And I do think SMP is aware of it. Certainly the news of looking at a sole solicitation is new and is welcome.
But there's no sure. There's no sure thing there, Charlie. You know,
we
have no buy off yet. But we just started it. That's what John's working on today. So,
okay.
So we're gonna give it. We're gonna give it a run. Although, just for awareness, his comment to me in asking about it and prioritizing it this morning was that in 2009 when he tried that, he was turned down. So, you know, we'll just have to see, but we do think that everybody is aware of where we're at.
Yeah, and my concern is making sure.
There's one other thing I would ask is at this point in time, from the current solicitation, pre-solicitation information, it appears that CSMSD will qualify as a and will be able to bid. And that between a discussion with CSMSD administrators staff. So we're looking at that option.
Good.
So that I would share with the group. So that's we're hopeful.
Okay. Thank you, Charlie.
You're welcome.
Dave, did you have another comment?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Carl, you're here. McNary Descaling, I think this is on. Gary, you asked Tammy to put it on the agenda. I think it's kind of married with your other concern of wanting to talk about debris, which was also later on the agenda.
The Descaling it is, yes.
We did have a real brief discussion a week ago at TMT. Where Paul Wagner shared some of the SMP data specific to McNary last year. I shared some of the local McNary data and a longer-term look at some of that McNary data in terms of descaling. Trevor also gave a brief that was a little bit more system-oriented, looked at some of the impacts that have been taking place upstream. Overall, a lot of uncertainty as to just what the mechanism was last year that was causing the high descaling. It was noticeably higher than previous years when we looked at 5 years. And I think that's why Gary, right from the start, when there was going to be a discussion at TMT, wanted to make sure that we kept this in FPOM because this is the place where we really work on operations that may enhance that. So I kind of think that If this is sufficient for now, when we get to the next section where you were talking about wanting to put in place a debris management plan,
right.
When he gives an update on where we're at, maybe it's appropriate, yeah. Unless you have any other comments, Carl?
No, not really.
Let's table it until we get to that, and I want to throw out some of the observations I have.
Okay. So then we're under Cortland updates, and the first one we have is Bond 13.
Now, this is Heaven's agenda item of things that you need to keep in mind, but both of those are going to be updated with the MOC that will be discussed later. So that moves us down to Bond Unit 11.
Okay.
Cool.
Who is doing that?
Tom's not here. How's
he? Which is probably best. You better get that out.
Get it out of the way.
Ben's looking around. I'm not sure. What does that mean?
So, there's a little bit of slippage. I would guess, that's what I would call it, that it would be back operational mid-March.
What year?
15.
Mid-March. Everybody write that down. Ben says mid-March. Promises.
No. Guesses. Guesses.
It's in his weekly update.
In other words...
That does include 2 weeks of model validation testing, yes. It will actually be a little bit delayed because of BPA outage that we can't, it's in February, so we can't do the validation testing until it's complete.
Care to put some error bounds around that?
No, not really. We don't have it.
Plus or minus a year?
The Corps doesn't have possession of it currently. It's
still void. Yep. Well, we kind of put it off a little bit with all the debris issues and stuff that we had earlier last month and earlier this month, so I know that caused some delay, but...
Yeah, there's some...
But, yeah, it didn't sound like they were going to make it anyway.
No. And there's some... There are a significant amount of issues that are sort of out of our hands. That
yeah.
Are still waiting, literally, to get it handed back to us.
So I mean, it is a significant unit from a fish passage standpoint. It does... benefit the corner collector operation, so having it back would be a very good thing. And I guess that's just my standard statement. Every year I'll make that statement in December and, oh, wait a minute.
Do you remember when it used to run?
I do. I've been around that long.
I think it'll actually be back short of the validation testing mid-February, but there's an outage that's complete powerhouse outage that will not enable them to do model validation stuff until March.
That'll stop it. There are people around the table who have never seen or heard of that unit actually running.
Yeah.
1.5 years.
Well, that would be me too then.
At least in this form.
Yep. Okay, is that it? Any other comment on that?
No, ma'am.
Thank you. Dal's North Fishway rock wall repairs.
Yeah.
Yeah, did we discuss this at last time?
This came up between meetings.
Oh, okay. So a little background. So the Dalles fish ladder, about half of it is in the salt rock, and some of it is sloughing off in small areas, and there's a safety concern on it when we're working on it as well. So we are activating a project or a district team now to go in and figure out we already kind of know where some of the weak spots are. We had a geotech guy from the district come out and kind of point out all the areas that are of concern. And from there we'll get this team involved to figure out, okay, what do we need to do with the weak spots. But there hasn't even been a kickoff meeting yet. We've been waiting for a couple months on this now.
Okay.
As soon as we get a kickoff meeting and we start looking at alternatives for fixing some of these weak spots, we'll bring that to FPOM as it goes.
Is this something that the Corps is thinking of doing this next winter work period? Or?
No.
Okay.
No, this will be a couple
just a kickoff, yeah.
Okay.
Who knows with funding?
Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that we had
looked at alternatives yet,
a chance to look at. Whatever you plan to do in a year.
Pretty hefty price tag, and who knows when that will fit the budget. So,
that's
more challenging.
Yeah.
So, there's no imminent danger of a landslide blocking the ladder?
Completely, probably not.
Yeah, no, I.
Slightly, probably.
at least the geotech person didn't think so. But
okay.
There were some areas of small
freezing and heat.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to. It's just erosion.
Yeah,
it's rock.
Yeah.
It's just its habitat
creation. Right.
It is fine. Complexity is what we want.
And we go in there every year because the trees tend to grow right out of the side of these rocks. And
that'll split
so
up too.
We try to keep them knocked back because we don't want the root systems to cause more damage.
Pretty unique system.
Yeah.
If you left it on my desk,
so what were the dates associated schedule? Just the,
there's not even
any kind of schedule.
We haven't even got to a schedule yet.
Nothing like
that. Yeah.
Not even tailgating the German.
Yeah, we're waiting for the kickoff.
So not even that has a schedule.
No,
okay.
There's been a PM assigned, and that's
it. So you'll keep us informed on those kind of things. Okay.
Yep. So we can keep it on the agenda.
Okay. Yeah, I think it should roll this one along.
Looks like the next one, Miro did a write-up. Was there anybody else that wanted to comment? This is John Day, North, AWS, fish pump testing in the agenda.
Well, the only comment I had was we need to make sure that we have all those pumps that are supposed to be new available. And if they're not, then we need to get to the root of the problem.
So
while they're still covered under
notes.
Still covered under CRFM and not a follow-on and not a project-level burden.
Okay. Give you time to capture that?
Yes.
The next one is bond winter maintenance work.
So because I had received some inquiries as to what winter maintenance had been completed, I asked the three projects to provide an update as to where they are and what they expect to get done. So we don't necessarily have to go through the next three items in great detail unless you have questions.
Hold on. Yeah, the fish valve 5-4, you said it was in very poor condition. Is that like, what does that mean?
Well, you can't tell.
It's going to crumble.
Just don't really do it justice. No, by the time it goes back, it'll be...
So no problems.
I mean, there won't be any.
It's just
and really, most of the problems are associated with trying to dry it up. It
can't tell on this backside of the seal, but I mean on the backside of the valve, there's no seals.
Seals are gone. Yeah. Okay.
So then there's play in its operation, but by the time they're done,
it should be in good shape. No real problems with that.
We have. And the 5.3 needs similar attention, but we won't have time to
this year.
We know that.
2 years from now.
2 years from now.
Then the other comment I have, and I've made this one before, is the Cascade Island picket lead. going up the UMT, that picket lead, you guys went in, it sounds like, and did some work on that this winter.
As far as lamprey?
Yeah, well, what I'm a little worried about on that one was that's a double lead in there. And I was noticing a lot of overflow in that, and I don't think it was due to debris. I think it was due to just the amount of structure that's in there. So that head loss, you know, that overflow could cause false attraction. I don't know if you guys have seen that. I mean, when I looked at it, it looked to me like significant enough to cause false attraction along that picket. And I just, you know, is there a way that we can do a better job of keeping fish out of that upper part of that ladder and not having so much head loss across that? And what you guys, and I guess my biggest question is what you guys did this winter, did it, or this late fall, did that make it even worse?
Well, what we just did in the last week, no.
Okay.
But what we did to probably cause that was decrease that picket spacing to keep lamprey out.
Right.
And it absolutely changed.
Changed that characteristic of that over that area. So I don't know if we need to at least keep a closer eye on it, see if we see fish jumping in there or evidence of it, scales, you know, stuck on things or whatever. But it's more head loss in there than I'd like to see for that, for a picket. I guess that's.
Right at the beginning of UMT?
Yeah, right in the Cascade Island ladder, just as you know, the pickets that actually guide fish into the UMT. So there's a lot of flow coming down that ladder, and there's flow coming out the UMT channel as well. But that flow that comes out of the ladder, the traction flow, actually, you know, you want it just to flow through the pickets, and the fish just follow the picket, not follow the flow up. But what's happening is that there's some bars in there, and there's reduced porosity, so some of that flow is actually flowing up over those structural bars in there at times. Maybe there's some debris added there, I don't know. But what I saw in my inspections was that it looked to me like a potential area for fish to get injured and jump at and maybe cause some problems. And so I think we just want to keep an eye on it. If you start seeing problems, maybe that's something that we need to redesign that whole picket.
Well, there's been talk amongst the lamprey folks of putting another, a fully different approach, putting another lamprey structure above the leads.
Oh.
And doing like we do at other AWSs where we allow them underneath the leads.
Well, that would certainly change the porosity,
Well, at that point, we no longer need the half-inch space. We go back to inch.
Go back to the inch,
And encourage them to go through there. What we're doing now is a different approach, is preventing them from entering whatsoever and sending them through the UMT to go to that that lamprey passage structure.
Over there or somewhere, anyway, or out the exit. Okay.
And I think that's still on their plate of potential items. It's expensive, but it's, if that ends up being problematic, it might be the way we have to go.
Because... I don't know another way other than perhaps porosity issue isn't so much the problem of the spacing as it is the structure that's holding all that stuff in there. That seems to be in the water too. So I don't know. That's just a function of the head. I don't know, but it's
it cut in half. It was reduced by 50%, so it was significant.
And then there's two of them in there too. Two panels, right?
There are. Those obviously could be removed for the short term because the back panels were only backer panels used for cleaning.
You know,
so they could be set up for that matter.
Okay. I'm just remembering also, maybe there wasn't a panel in there. One of the spots didn't have a panel this year.
Well, we did have issues there. We got fish behind there because when they were making those mods, they had a lack of understanding amongst our structural crew, and they had the only leads in the back, which allows a gap for fish to jump over.
Right.
So that was problematic, obviously. But the back ones could be stored elsewhere. They could be stored up on the deck, and that might
help.
Help a little bit.
That might help. Maybe that's something to look at.
Yeah, we can certainly do that.
Okay. Thanks, Ben.
Sure.
Is that a quick fall and winter maintenance item question?
Sure.
We heard that one time that the airburst system and DSM-2, there's some water controls that weren't really functioning right. Is that on this list as well?
You mean as far as being addressed?
Yeah.
They'll get in there and look at them for sure. I mean, Yeah, there's some that don't flush in manual. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I think so. And then
both the orifices?
Yeah, the orifices. Some brought up a question. Is if they're not flushing in manual, or they're flushing in auto?
And I don't know. I truly don't.
I never touch anything camera.
Investigate that with operations to see if that's if one makes the other effective as well. But there's certainly...
I will.
Well, there's a handful that don't function in manual that do nothing, so I'm assuming I would be surprised if they function.
Do they ever, do they function at all? Yeah, I have no idea how I know that, but I know that they don't.
Interesting.
Could have been somebody that worked there a long time ago.
I just had an operator go down and...
Perfect.
Prove me wrong.
Isn't on the agenda.
He could.
One
fingerprint.
You wanted to know about Weird Day One.
Right.
That failed, for lack of a better word. No one really knows why. So the lifting beam that holds it connected to the hoist came disconnected. So it fell.
It's one of the main four entrances of Powerhouse 2. Yes. So it's a big.
And it, as far as we know, short of dive inspection or ROV, is wide open. We assume it fell too still. I mean, the gate itself would have just fallen within the slot.
Right.
The lifting beam is likely in the...
Somewhere in the tail race.
I mean, in the tail race.
Yeah.
I expected if it fell out of the slot, it fell out since flow would have...
Missed all the sea lines. That's the worst part of it. Didn't.
But it should still be connected to the, okay, to the gate, so... I guess the only thing that I wanted to know is what time frame we want to look at for getting it repaired.
Yeah.
Because we have, it's going to be sluiceway outage, and it's going to be, I assume, at least some units out on the south end while they do it to allow them to safely dive.
Are they going to have to dive? Are they going to have to dive? They can't just hook on to it or something.
I don't know how they, it's because they're going to pull the whole beam up.
Big magnet.
Maybe a big enough magnet, yeah. But I didn't know what folks wanted to look at, if they wanted to wait until we take the sluiceway down and time it with that April, or if they wanted us to address it before that.
I would say before.
Like this winter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it'd be good to have everything running.
That's kind of folks that doesn't, that was
that gate
be...
doesn't operate until we hit really high tail water. Is that...
So if you want it done this winter, it means the complete shutdown of the ice and trash sluiceway.
Right. Yes. For how long?
And
for a day.
Units at our priority powerhouse for the winter.
Understand.
Correct.
Understand that. But it'd be short duration.
I would think it did, but I don't know.
Are you sure you wouldn't want to do it when we put in the...
Well, I have a concern about having too much on the plate in April, because that is, yeah, it has become a critical time. Whereas now we have hardly, very little fish movement out there. A day outage has not going to be an effect.
We could, I mean, yeah, our guys, we have to have divers, so I mean.
What's your dive lead time?
A month.
January, sometime late January, that's there's not much moving around at that point. February we start to get some movement, but even then I wouldn't be too concerned about it. If you're just talking a day to get in there and do that.
I would expect so.
Yeah, I mean, you just got to hook onto it. Just got to go down, hook on, and then you're back to going again. Mm-hmm. But then we have that entrance. It is a main entrance. I mean,
we're maintaining criteria currently. Mm-hmm.
You could close Weir Gate, too, and so you still just have your one entrance.
True. And we're doing that partially to maintain criteria, but at the moment we're not having to do that.
I'm not sure. Do we know what condition that entrance is in? Has it fallen the way we want it to fall? Or I don't know what it is, so I don't... I think I want to go that route. This is not a big deal. But you get it fixed.
Okay.
That's what I would say.
Yes. What gate is this illustrated here in the... It's gate 5-4 that would feed the south entrance area of Cascades Island.
Okay. Thanks.
Sure.
Yep. Had problems in the past.
Okay. Any comments on the Dells winter maintenance?
Yeah, there's one recent development we've had. The entrance weird guides, we've got a close look at them because we're pulling a lot of those weirs out now to replace wheels on them and put that high density plastic on the wheels. And we're finding the guides are in a lot worse shape than we thought. Mainly because the wheels are stainless and the guides are carbon. So They're going in now to basically put a bunch of new steel on these guys. And hopefully we can get two of the weirs, or two of the entrance weir guys done this year. That's the plan. If our budget can handle it, and if we have enough time. And then we're going to have to go back in upcoming years and probably do the rest. So we'll probably get a quarter done this year.
So I saw you mentioned you had to go back. I wasn't sure if you meant that you had to go back and rework the ones that you worked this year, if you're just doing a stopgap, or are you doing the final,
no,
putting stainless steel in?
This is the final. We've done some guide work on the upper part of the east ladder, and the exit weirs. We've done some guide work out there.
You did do
and
that.
They just basically welded or laid pieces of weld in there to fill in some steel, but down below.
It doesn't have
entrance weirs. They got to put in all new, so they're basically scarping out the old, putting in all new.
But you'll have
a lot more labor intensive.
Plastic wheels in there from now on.
Yeah, we'll have plastic wheels.
And they won't be chewing it up. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They'll just chew up the wheels.
This whole process is going to be at least several years.
Hopefully something doesn't totally fail, because you're having sticking gates hanging up now. So.
And that's a lot to do with it right there. So.
Failing infrastructure.
Oh, and then 158 weirs, the new one's going to go into. They're just doing final punches on it now, and they'll have them pretty shortly.
So it's got stainless steel rollers.
Yeah.
And lead guides.
Lead.
That we've softened down.
Yeah, it's self-lubricating.
Okay, thanks. Without Miro here, is there anybody else that wants to comment on John Day, winter maintenance?
This is more of a fiddly question, honestly, this whole discussion about the pumps. Are we going to get an update? Are we going to update some time for fiddly on the pump situation?
That
is the update?
No. Fiddly is on the agenda. You'll get your...
I brought that up to
your fiddling date.
After reading that, Miro, everything's okie-dokie.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
that's actually the next thing on the agenda.
That
so
was
I'm not
a
sure
little...
Yeah.
Yeah, the other thing, too, the hunky-dory part of this thing that concerns me is the STSs. Are they really... I've heard some concerns out there in the region about the STSs at John Day, and I'm just wondering, is this...
Well,
you know, Miro's always painting things with such a happy face.
Do you remember the
last time... Bright colors.
Yeah.
So, Bob, when was the last time those STSs were ever painted?
Exactly.
So,
they're in wonderful shape, right?
Yeah, when I was up there, we had another list like every year to get started.
And it's still on the list, but because it's such a high ticket item, it doesn't generally get funded.
Well, that's fine. We can just pull the screens and spill more. That should work fine.
Yeah, I think maybe that we need to take a close look at those screens while they're out.
I would recommend it.
At one time, we were looking at, because we have to haul them all the way to dismantle them, haul each one off site to deal with them. And at one time we were talking about doing the sandblast facility on site for this, but then of course it'd be used for everything else, so Fish wasn't going to pay the whole thing. And I remember that was Gary Johnson days.
I remember that too. That's right.
And then it just never happened.
And things have just slid. I'll just throw out there on the table for the record that I think that those screens are probably getting close to the end of their service life. If we can't, and we need to do something to get those back rehabbed or whatever it takes. And maybe there needs to be a separate engineering report done just to take a hard look at them to make sure that they're going to last a year.
Burns been working on this for a number of years, and the plan is to have spares built so that you can do a unit at a time and then haul off a unit's worth of screens and have them rehabbed either down in Bonneville or
makes
wherever
sense.
In the Dallas.
So what's the status of that, and what's the schedule?
It does not get enough support in the small or large cap or wherever.
Is
Can we talk about that next month when we get into our failing infrastructure discussion? Or I shouldn't say failing, but...
It breaks and we have to be in an emergency situation.
Well, maybe that's what we have to wait for.
Hey, it should be noted though that fisheries has been pushing for this.
Well, what concerns me is that they're rough. They're pretty in rough shape, and I don't know what the impact is. I mean, you know, sort of a background descaling sort of issue, but... Probably not. So it just needs to be elevated, I think, as an issue. We can bring it up again next week or next month.
The caveat to that, too, is the drain needs work.
Is that the gantry?
Yes, the SDS is until you have a crane that's fully functional, so I understand there's still issues with that.
Okay. Well, that all needs to come out. So I'm going to take Miro's happy face off of that. That part. Yeah, I'm going to turn that little smiley upside down.
Okay, thanks for helping with that. Are we ready to move into your Fitterwig updates? John?
Fitterwig updates. So we were talking about having the next Fitterwig possibly in January, but definitely on our regular scheduled time in February.
Okay.
So it's the first Thursday in February, unless you need to have it earlier.
January is going to be pretty busy with trespass offense things, but there are a lot of issues.
There are a lot of issues.
Up.
You can probably do later in January.
Yeah. Yeah, we got Fitterwig. No, that's February.
Okay, yeah. Well, Walla is February, so. Yeah. I think we could try it like, towards the end of January.
Well, if you wait till the end of January, why not just wait till the 5th of February?
Because you'll probably match it up with some Walla meeting.
No, there's nothing else except Portland Fitterwig on the cap.
Okay, yeah, sooner than later.
Yes, we'll talk more about that. And we'll get a doodle poll or something going.
Okay.
And I'll talk to Brad about agenda items and the necessity to have it sooner. A couple of items on this agenda, the fishing at Trash Rake. Funding has been provided. I believe all the parts are at Bonneville.
Yeah. Was this supposed to be, weren't you supposed to have some welding construction done, I think it was like November? I'm sure
we had some contracting delays that hurt that, and then we needed to put the rig back in use.
Right,
and so I think at this point it's
spring.
You know, as far as it's project scheduling,
it's back in our hands now. Up until we, when we had debris issues, it was pulled out of the shop, obviously put back in service, but now it's. Yeah, back to the finishing up. All the parts are there and our guys are doing it. So.
What's your guys' schedule?
I don't know the completed schedule date. I would think, certainly by the end of winter maintenance, I think they'll have it completed.
And then I guess we'll try to do some sort of evaluation of that. Let's see how effective this new fancy pants design is.
Yeah, we were hoping, to get a district ROV to help the crews align the scraper plates and check the effectiveness of the brushing mechanism.
So we need to coordinate that.
Yeah, as we get closer to a completion date for the mods.
Sounds like a Fitterwig item.
Yeah.
Kind of does, doesn't it?
Okay. We'll talk more about that at Fitterwig. FGE, we have testing, this spring, and I'll be putting together an Appendix A type of coordination. We'll talk about that at Fitterwig, too. Okay. I haven't done that yet, but it's similar to what we've done in years past. And then the cryptic AFF tag detector.
Okay,
yeah,
he had a handout. So, anybody?
I'm just gonna say no. Wow. You can go get him if you want. But
it was a hole in my stocking already. Actually.
Go check.
I go down to my other meeting.
They're going to say no, but that's okay. Save his face.
So John, I put Brad in touch with Mr. Creek, so hopefully they're working things out for their fish.
Oh, good. Yeah.
That's good.
I'll check with Randy Absalon too.
Or not? Yeah, Randy. Randy, no. Okay. I think Brad was looking for fish too. For
everybody wants your fish. Test animals. That's what that hatchery's for, right?
That's right. Test animals.
I wonder if while we're waiting, we should let Lisa do the RCC update.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, there we go. That's what we're all waiting for.
All right. Get your galoshes. It's got to be a soca.
Oh, it has been.
Okay, so starting with Lower Granite, yesterday's average flow, 31 KCFS. The forecast 5 days out is 45 KCFS. KCFS, and then 10 days at 36. And the peak during that 10-day forecast is at 54.
Wow.
December 23rd. McNary yesterday, 148. 5 days out, up to 177. 10 days out, up to 185. The peak during the 10-day period is 211 KCFS on December 23rd. Bonneville, yesterday average 164. 5-day forecast 200. 10-day 207. And the peak during that time is 238 on Christmas Eve.
So what are we expecting?
I think you have a forecast for a lot of rain this weekend.
What didn't I see in the... Oh, yeah, I saw rain in there, but nothing unusual. That sounds like a lot.
It's going to be...
4 to 6 inches.
They're coming for a foot of rain.
Moving to Arizona.
A foot of rain.
So
they're going to get like 4 inches of snow. Yeah.
And that's at my house.
You get all your
that's what I get at your house.
Peak is
238,
December 24th.
So along those lines, an update from a different forum a little bit.
Yeah.
We were planning on doing the jump survey and the trap removal tomorrow.
Okay, quiet down, guys.
Jump survey.
And, we're going to move it all up till, next Tuesday, we're going to move it up till tomorrow.
Okay.
The jump survey and the trap removals.
The trap itself? Okay.
And Duncan Creek.
So that's an update from what was coordinated TMT
yesterday. But conditions changed a lot overnight.
TMT knows about this. Paul Wagner knows about it.
I think that's what Doug's doing right now.
Doug's doing that. And since many of the reps are in here right now, I took the opportunity to bring it up here as well.
And Merry Christmas.
Great. Uh-huh.
It won't be white.
Looks like I thought it was supposed to get cold, but
have your Christmas lights up.
Next week, I think.
Yeah, middle of next week, it looked like it was going to be cold.
You'll put out that mug, and it'll be more than half full. Yeah. So it looks like Jeff has joined us.
We're ready
for you. Critic AFF tag detector. People are aware that you brought a handout earlier.
So if I want to steal a Christmas tree out of the state land, I'm going to get it done.
Yeah, of course.
Take that off.
Of news before I left for it, so working on it this morning. Basically, this has gone back and forth. I think the last page here shows where we want to put this. The entrance hasn't changed from what we showed a couple of months ago and modified, where it would be the pit tag where the fish are diverted to upstream the thicket leads. It would be kind of backed off. I think Figure 9 on page 6 shows where it would be, so it wouldn't be at the narrowest point. It would be further out, and the sides would be beveled because it's full around it. And then the other place is what I'm most interested in is to try to get fish as they leave the AFF. And actually, something else came up in terms of possibly a better way of doing this we want to look at. I don't know if it's going to work, so floating antenna, just floating on top. And Biomark's been experimenting with those, and the thing I'm wondering about is whether the interference of DL3. I'm not sure if that's going to work. The other place that Steve has it is, you can see on the back here, it would be right at the exit where the fish turn out to go down that channel with the covers on it, take a left, take a U-turn. Right where that U-turn is would be where either one would be. And so it would be if the floating antenna doesn't work out, it would be similar to what's in, it's figure, which one is it? Plan is in figure 5, it would be something similar to what's pictured in figure 3. So, of course, that spot there has not been noise tested, so we wouldn't have to go. The orientation, that orientation worked out okay in the other places that we've done it, because it's perpendicular to the BO3 antennas. It seems like parallel is a problem, perpendicular is not. So that would be one which we have to come out and do some testing and get the tag as a PSNOC out there.
Because of the red lines? In my black and white
coffee? Yeah, it looks good. Good. You see those kind of solid bars?
Okay.
Right here, let's see.
Three of them?
Right here, there's a bar.
Oh, okay.
Off the output with the square. And then the other one is really hard to see. It's right in there. I didn't think about that when I made it. It's right where the fish enter. There's an extra little bar there.
I got it.
And the fish take the left at the picket leads. And oops, I've actually got it in the wrong place.
Oh.
Oops. And I got that upstream in the picket lead. So it's that little channel. It's right in that little channel where the counting window is. There's that little counting window in there. So it's upstream in that spot.
Okay.
So, in understanding your floating antenna, is it just, I see the plan view in figure 5, is it just the floating structure, or is it actually still then the same rectangle down below a floating structure?
That would be just a floating structure. If we can make it work, it's only about 18 inches deep there, and he says it should have a 24-inch range, but I'm concerned about the impacts of the noise on BO3, because that's not shielded. Again, I don't know, just an uneducated view, it just seems like that might be a problem.
So they effectively, that's more like a plate, but it's not the structure of a plate. So is it something that's been successfully implemented elsewhere?
Yeah, we actually tried it up at the Okanagan River last year. We're working also with Steve on trying to do it at Zozo Dam up on the Canadian border, try to monitor smoke going downstream, adults coming upstream at that spot, because adults can go around the ladder at times. Big issue is debris.
What about depth, the read range depth on a floating antenna?
About 24 inches.
Not going to get changed.
I think Steve's been out there a year or so ago, and Steve might measure 18 inches for depth in that area. It's not that deep.
18 inches in the AFF channel, the exit channel?
Well, after you go outside, it's pretty shallow. In the AFF, it's real deep.
Yeah, those steps up right there?
It steps up.
Mm-hmm. That was like 5 feet deep there.
No, it's shallower.
Yeah. All in, that's what I'm doing.
So that would be a real easy, inexpensive, if we can make that work. Easy to remove. The issue is with those things is debris. You know, if they build a lot of debris on them, they can have some problems. They've got a new design we're going to test up at Bonneville or Zozel, and probably do it here too, where they put kind of a lip on it, so it's looks much more debris-proof. They've got a YouTube video which shows them throwing logs at it. They just rise up over it.
Too many logs here.
Milfoil is going to be making some right then. What else is going to catch in there?
Shouldn't be much debris.
No, there's not much in there.
Yeah.
Dead fish.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Shad.
Yeah, sure. So that would be the hope, if we can get away with the floating antenna.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
The backup would be to get right at that exit to put on just a rectangular tenure. And it would be high enough so it would be out of the water and nothing would catch on it. But actually, we still would have to have one more trip out there to do the noise test on this. So it's an opportunity for anybody who wants to come out and take a look at it.
Maybe that's something that's a good idea. I've been having a hard time trying to keep up with you, Jeff, on this stuff. It keeps changing, and
it keeps on being a moving target.
They came out.
Come up
the last email came out, and I wasn't even sure where you were anymore on it. I couldn't, I just had pictures of the antenna, but not where they were. So Ed Meyer and I sat and scratched our heads, and finally I sent you and Tom a couple of emails, but I haven't got any response yet on that.
I was hoping to have something sooner than today, but
okay.
We've had a lot of things going on at Zozo. We're trying to get things straightened out
so
there too.
So, is this out? Did you hit? Obviously, can't see the red colors on here.
Yeah,
so,
I
have Dave's problem too with color blindness.
Can
so,
you
if you
send
could
it to me?
Okay. Send this out, that would be really great.
I'll put the red line in the right spot too.
Put the red line in the right spot. Yeah. And you're still sticking with these same antennas, the 5 1/4 inch?
Yeah.
That's what Biomark's suggesting for that. Rather, nothing. I know I asked Tom about the 2 inch, like we have the dowels for adult, but that was a cost issue.
It's about $7,000.
Yeah, no, I understand.
It's fairly expensive.
I was hoping to get down to maybe like 4 inches instead of 5 1/4 or something like that. But
yeah, I can't see both of these spots here. You've got a pretty low flow because the water's making that turn in one location, and the other one we backed off from the tight area.
Right.
So there should be reduction in flow right there.
I guess I see Ledgerwood using hose that big around for an antenna, and I'm not sure why we have to have 4 inch diameter hoses or pipes here. That's what bothers me.
Who's using that?
Dick Ledgerwood. It may be a shielding issue, but this isn't shielded. I mean, this is, but it's not. The pipe isn't the shielding.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering why.
No, the theory when I was building antennas was that you had to have a certain amount of air gap around the coil itself for it to be effective.
Right, but that's not what he's finding.
Yeah, so. Right. It's building antennas. I've got brothers in electrical engineering. Step straight up, Nathan. This is black magic. There's a lot of theory, and then when you go to apply it, it falls apart or it flows.
But the airspace is especially important when you're in concrete and you have rebar and you have a loading issue. So you can get away with the very thin antennas in kind of a free environment, but as soon as you put that next to concrete with rebar in there, it's going to pull all your energy out.
So he's going, I think those guys, I'm not sure what size of pipe they're using. It looked like about a 1 inch hose to me.
Yeah.
And this is a 4 inch. Is there something in between inch and 4 inch?
Well, that's going to space his wires off the wall quite a bit more. So he's not going to be so close to the wall anymore with his wires. So they're not going to send that energy directly into the wall. They're going to be out more.
The other solution is put ferrite tile.
Yeah, that's
yeah, but then he's saying the cost is.
That's the cost part.
Sure.
You know, beyond his.
It's not feasible for design.
Well, I guess the main thing is, and I was trying to figure out where exactly you're putting this in, if we can shut the AFF down and pull them out if we have problems.
Yeah.
I'm not too concerned about it, but if it's outside our ability to close to bulkhead, then I have some concerns. I don't want to take the ladder down if we have a problem.
I think these would be in places, I'm not sure where the bulkheads are.
Well, the exit. So you're way inside of that on the exit end of this thing from the fish perspective.
Yeah.
The entrance, I'm not sure.
The entrance. You could close a bulkhead and you could completely dewater the AFF
if you needed to.
Dewater. Yeah.
And it wouldn't inhibit ladder performance, right?
Right.
No, not the main ladder.
Okay, so that's the key thing. I mean, it's going to slow you guys down, but we don't have any adult research going on this year, do we?
Not at the moment.
It's only going to be Critfic in there, so if you guys are in there and...
No.
You got free reign. Well, maybe Washington or Oregon. Oregon may be in.
Is it Oregon in there?
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought Oregon was in last year, and I don't know if there's a need.
Don't know about next year. Eric, you know anything about that?
I'll get back to you. I have a feeling maybe.
That's, harvest year technology. Research.
I'm not sure.
Well, I guess that's kind of the thing. If you take a bit of a risk, if we look at that and think, geez, you know, this is messing up the hydraulics. Because Ed, I asked Ed about the hydraulics, and he couldn't really tell.
Yeah.
So it's kind of going to be a check and see sort of thing, I think.
If you get it in early, at least in terms of hydraulics, we can start it up, and if we have any problems, pull it out.
Right, right.
We need to do it during the run, but hopefully hydraulics is the issue, and in terms of hopefully find it beforehand. I have a hard time
asking
fish are going to have a problem.
Yeah, probably not. But you are occluding a lot of space. I mean, you've moved the one outside, so you're not as much, but you still have a 5 1/2 inch bump on the floor and a 5 1/2 inch bump on one wall, and you know, it's 11 inches if you're if it's a smooth wall.
The
entrance,
so. We move back so it's wider. Than
right,
it's,
right. You're still going to shunt the flow, and there will be a bump of flow going around there, a little bit of a separation, but it shouldn't. I don't think it's a problem.
With 18 inches of depth, would that actually create a little bit of head right there?
Yeah.
Does it push
over? Oh, yeah. There? Well, it isn't just the depth. The bump, yeah, it's all sides. So you're causing a constriction that will increase velocity, and there will be a head loss.
The water's making a turn right there, so it's real slow.
It gets messy.
Anyway.
But I still don't think it's going to be a problem. But my point is, if it turns out to be a problem, because nobody can really pin down the hydraulics, then... if we can shut that thing down if we need to and get in there and yank it out, it just means you guys are going to be out of business for a couple, you know, whatever it takes, day or two.
That's fine. You know, in the springtime, you got plenty of fish coming through.
Okay.
Chinook especially. Yeah, critical time tends to be that steelheads, early fall Chinook, where we're up against temperature restrictions. We got a whole bunch of fish coming through.
You'd be done by that. Yeah, so yeah, I guess I'm okay with trying it. If you can do the floating, that'd be great, but if you can't...
Yeah, I prefer to do the floating. It's cheaper. And
easy to put in, take out. So you're going to check that out first.
Yeah, that would be the first thing.
Okay.
Is there interference with the L3?
Uh-huh. Right.
It might be less efficient, though. A lot of times you can't make the black, but they're not quite as efficient.
Well, you're trying to get...
I would agree it's going to be less efficient, but if we miss some fish...
It's not a big deal if you're just getting transit time, as long as you know you get enough of them to get transit time through there.
I'm interested in missing fish, but if we can get a detection efficiency 80-90%, I'd be happy.
Yeah. That'll give you an update.
Yeah, we're not doing a double antenna or anything like
you'll have upstream antennas at bottom of the lake. You can actually probably calculate your detection
efficiency. What's that? Right? Yeah.
Basically, upstream detection.
You can check that easily.
Yeah. Well, you're looking, I mean, your main question here is the time it takes these fish to transit through.
Transit and recovery and tag loss is another thing.
Well, then you need an efficiency, yes.
Yeah. Well, you can get efficiency, and you still determine efficiency
from the other.
From upstream.
Yeah. Okay, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, you don't need this to get that detection, to tell you the truth, really. I mean, you have those other three, four antennas in the exit section there.
Where there's antennas in the. When you get back at the main ladder.
I thought there was antennas in the exit section.
There are, but they're not functional.
Seeing them, but I didn't know they weren't functional.
They're not functional.
Well,
you guys are getting into a lot of stuff. You should probably have more discussion at Fitterwood on this.
I think we'd asked about being functional.
Okay.
It wasn't possible.
That's what I was getting fun.
This isn't Fitterwood. This is pretty much.
Even Fitterwood is F Palm, but
this is F Palm. She's just telling us, shut up, move on. Okay.
So I didn't want anybody else to start leaving the room here. But he gets up and leaves. Okay, keep it moving. Do you have any avian updates, Nate?
I showed something in my mouth, so I can't talk.
Wait a minute. What happened?
Oh, sorry, lamprey? Did I miss something? Lamprey updates.
I think probably the biggest lamprey updates was the stuff that was delivered at the stage. People had questions about that. I could take those back to the research. There's, you know, a significant amount of lamprey research was done last season, and those results are preliminary now and forthcoming.
Those presentations going to get posted somewhere soon?
I just got them yesterday. And Brad was out yesterday, so I need to talk to him about that.
I talked to Brad. They will be posted.
Will you send out the link?
I will be posting.
Perfect. Then they will be posted.
I'll send an email out with that link, please.
Yes, I will.
Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Okay. Anything, avian? I don't hear anybody. We sort of talked about that in lieu of... some of the other projects, so I think we have that pretty well covered moving forward. We'll have an update on that. So the next one is critical infrastructure, and I think, Gary, you may have asked Tammy to get this on the agenda. You guys put Lower Granite. I did ask Elizabeth Holdren to try to make the meeting so that we did have the project bio here, assuming that we were going to still stay with starting at Lower Granite. I guess the format for that, a little unclear just how you want to proceed. Obviously, we have lists out there that were developed by project, and I guess from Walla's perspective, this would be the opportunity to just kind of talk through those, let people ask questions or have ideas about other pieces of infrastructure and make recommendations then to the Corps if they had some differential opinions on what we've had prioritized for spare parts.
That was it. Yeah, just to get a chance to start looking at what you guys are looking at so we know that. I mean, I think that's appropriate for this committee. And then give you some input on what we think are
sure.
priorities.
Right.
You know, and it's up to you guys.
Because, yeah, it's up to us, and, you know, hopefully we are, you know, within our own systems, budgeting for priorities, and, you know, as Tammy relayed earlier, there's a lot of things that they keep trying on. I think that's probably true at most of the projects. But that said, yeah. You know, I know for us, we are making some project progress in the last couple of years on some items.
Floating orifices at McNary, I mean, that's been an issue, and
yep, that Carl's brought up several times. Started on that this year. So we have sort of turned the corner in terms of maintenance, big picture, for the entire facilities, not just the fish facilities, but power, nav, fish. And so we have a lot of new processes ongoing. Actually, our chief of ops is for 6 months working at BPA, trying to understand better their asset capitalization for asset management, et cetera, you know, bringing some of that expertise probably back, helping them in the meantime as well. So at least in our district, yeah. There's a real strong push to try to, over time, build smart budgets that put us back and keep us level so that we don't slip any further and that we rebuild back to where we started. So that'll be a lot of the emphasis. Carl, as we talk about his facility, will be able to give a brief update and talk about screen cleaning there. So I think with that, we can probably wait till January and we'll just work through it.
It's kind of informs our next opinion, I think, you know, as we get into that. And if there's any congressional, you know, push that needs to happen, that's comes from this kind of stuff, so.
Sure. Okay, BPA, any updates?
Congress.
No, that's okay. It looks like the next thing is we have some coordination notification forms from Portland that we're needing concurrence.
Spillgate repair pit first.
Oh, sorry.
Matt Kutz is not able to be here to provide an update, and he said that there's some scope changes, so he will come in January. Now we can get to the coordination point.
Gate repair pit.
Yeah, you know that thing that we haven't used in...
The one with the big hazard?
I don't even think I've ever seen it used. That's how long
it's been. Antenna, yeah, the spill. Go in there with a respirator on.
Okay, who's gonna run? I guess
all right,
the first one.
So there's a couple of MFRs on here, and they're on here because Gary and I were talking, and you will be presenting a change form next month, right?
I will.
That's what. So we were talking, and apparently only I recall the conversation.
What are you talking about?
Tell them more about what you talked about.
So Gary would like FPOM to have an opportunity to comment on our memos for the record. He didn't just like this blanket, hey, we screwed up, and there you go, you don't get a comment. So what I have done.
FPP discussion.
That is an FPP discussion, but in anticipation of that, there's a couple of MFRs on here that people have kind of provided comments, so I put them on here so you can officially provide comments.
Okay, now that you've keyed me up.
There you go.
I didn't realize that you wanted that discussion right now.
It's been on the agenda.
What's that? It's not right. It's not here.
Here's the actual MFR.
Right. The MFR is Tammy and I talked about was, and this comes from several of the MFRs that have come out over the years, that they're just notifications. But yet, I think that they require some action, and because of that, need some coverage, at least from an ESA standpoint. So getting some concurrent, or at least not concurrence, that's not what I was asking for. I was asking for these MFRs to have a point in there where you can ask for comments.
Yes.
If you get no comments, you're done. You can put a date in there of 2 weeks. If there's a comments, you know, like a situation where, well, with Carl, you had some fish jump out of the collection channel, and that MFR came out, and there was a recommendation. I think Carl said, well, we're not going to go ahead and put netting up there, and we have a discussion about that. So, I mean, that's the sort of thing I'm talking about. And Bob's got one out about some fish that died up at the Dalles. And that's another one where you've identified a problem, you've identified a potential solution to that problem. I think that needs at least a chance for folks to have a comment. So what I'm asking for is just a line item in the MFR that says comments.
So with that in mind, we have the November debris issues at Bonneville. Does anyone have any comments on that MFR? No. All right, moving on.
You didn't say how long you want to comment.
That was short.
I took a breath.
It went from 2 weeks to 30 seconds.
Are there any comments on that? I'm surprised Ben didn't have any comments on that.
Well, I am surprised too, but yeah. It's, I thought it was a really great alternative, and I think we should maybe use that every year.
We'll get into that discussion later, just on the MFR itself.
Since we didn't hear any complaints in the region, I thought.
Was there a reason you guys didn't go to power up one more when the work was done? I mean, we could have run power ups harder, couldn't we, on the first side?
I thought they had. I thought that was our initial.
I think they ran as hard as they could.
We already went. Sometimes what happens is you go to first power, and you let one or two units run unscreened, and then you open the corner collector. So,
well, maybe we need an exact.
All the screens.
Transcription of exactly what happened.
Yeah. Wasn't there some maintenance or something that was going on? There was something that was going on.
The verbiage as far as how it came out. The RCC was that as soon as we were running one unscreened unit,
before operating one unscreened
unit. Right. Normally it's two. That's some of the things we negotiated in the past. But sort of here nor there, I mean, there's a part of time when you didn't have any ladder at the first powerhouse and you wanted to run the corner collector, got it. When that work was completed, we probably could have shut the corner collector down and had passage again at the first powerhouse. But it is what it is.
Well, there's juvenile out-migration season as well, and that does go through the end of November. So I was expecting probably some discussion when we got to November 30. But I didn't see any, so that was fine with me.
Well, at some point it would have been a little pointless to put screens back in right. for a week only to turn around the next Monday and take them out.
But, yeah, once you get past the end of November, then what we're doing mainly there is protecting adult fallback. I mean, that's the intent of that period, those 2 weeks. So, thank you.
All right, so the bridge follow-on work, MFR that went out, the one where there were footprints on the concrete.
Really?
I expected like a little quote inscription.
Did it really say no ducks on there? Is
that
true?
That would have had to have come off no matter what.
I'd have to leave that on yet for a couple months. No.
Yeah, so no comments.
No.
Though I will tell you that the project was thinking ahead and the work goes out 55 feet away from the ladder, so if they choose to do the rest of the roadway, they won't be coming to us.
They're clear.
Right, so that gets us to bond 82, which is the updated T11 outages for 2016, which basically moves them to the outage from the end of October to the 10th of November.
I sent you comments on that.
Could you give me those dates again?
It's now 9.5 weeks, right?
Just came out. She mailed this
The first full week of September to the 10th of November.
May I just slip?
Do you recall why we moved into August?
Because it takes half the powerhouse out, so we were waiting till September.
Most powerhouse is out. So that's
but powerhouse 2 is still the priority powerhouse in August?
Well, I've seen my comments. I mean, that's my concern is juvenile. And once we get into September, we're going towards adult-centric, but in August, it's still a juvenile. We are still spilling.
You're going to split the powerhouse by then. You're getting pretty close.
Mm-mm. No, that's the argument I've always had, is I don't like the idea of splitting those powerhouses early, because that is a juvenile issue. So, I mean, maybe
we usually split it
temperatures would matter, but...
First week of September, so...
Right. So we get into September... We kind of shift over to adult
then it shouldn't, you know, matter. But it's still an, it's still a hit, I think, for juveniles to have half.
The MGR, or are you thinking just because of the
tailrace? No, tailrace, yeah. Half the flow through each powerhouse. I mean, really, that's probably what we ought to just go to, is half and half, but there's that nagging predator issue in tailrace.
The other thing this bumps into, because it's longer than we originally coordinated, by probably a week and a half, is a jumble starting by then, and so you'll end up spilling most likely to accomplish the jumble. That's why I'm asking about the August. Is there any room to squeeze for this?
Yeah, I think they're the contractors. This was the contractor that I think we had issues with last year.
No, it was. That's why it got canceled. But it was originally 6 to 8 weeks. Then it's going to be 8 weeks. Now it's 9.5 weeks.
Because they're doing some the projects. And something
like so how much scale would you be looking at?
The project has some work on T11.
You got the all powerhouse so one. You've got half the powerhouse too.
This is 4 units in the second powerhouse. So it's going to, these outages, 2 years back to back, they'll be taking half of it out and they'll make sure they get the other half of it.
So you still, we get 100.
If you have all your units available,
yeah.
If 11 comes back, you're getting close.
Yeah. Well, south versus north, T11.
Yeah. Right, and then the following year we have the same problem again.
Well, then you got, yeah.
It's nip and tuck depending on what you got. And then what flows you
well, that T12 wasn't changed, though. That schedule stayed the same.
Right, T12 saw. Stayed the same.
So that's what it was. We already coordinated that. So it shouldn't be that.
Okay.
And the T11 outage really was coordinated as well. It's just that it's extended a week
yeah,
and a half.
Yeah, that's why I don't see other than, I mean, the split powerhouse flow is not an issue. You're going actually a little bit later, so it's maybe a little better. If run timing is an issue, there's fewer fish. Goodness.
All right. So approved. Fish viewing roof repair.
God.
Just
really?
Let us repair the roof, all right?
Really? Again? For the how many? Which?
It hasn't been repaired.
50th time? That thing's been leaking ever since I've been out. That was leaking in 1986.
And now?
So whatever damage has been done has been done. Just let her rip.
Yeah, it does. So what they did point out is that the water is getting dangerously close to some electrical stuff.
Oh.
So if we want to maintain our fish counts,
fireworks?
Perhaps we should get the roof repaired. Anyhow,
close
there
the
should
building.
Be no impacts because they're not doing. They say they're not.
Where's
doing
Tom
anything
at? So.
But I know that you all trust our contracting and small
so,
projects.
You see that little circle? Those are the weeks you're talking about. Do you see the peaks? That is Steelhead Passage.
All right.
Do you know that that is the peak of Steelhead Passage?
So, Gary, the other option was in the middle of the spring Chinook run, which
or December sounds good to me. Or maybe we're only going to do this work at night.
Okay, but there's not going to be any impacts to fish.
And you're out there rumbling around.
I thought I read in the coordination form it was just pressure washing and hand removal of.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they say right now, small projects. However, we all have experience with small projects, so we will have monthly updates so that we know immediately if there's any.
After you've impacted the Steelhead run, we'll find out about it.
Why are they like B run Steelhead?
Who cares?
Who cares?
Russ is
here. Russ on the phone.
It should be winter down there.
Damn. I've done enough incrimination.
We can work
on it for now. Yeah, I think that. I mean, that's. I know there's not a great time, and you guys want this to be dry, and it's probably not a lot of activity.
No more than, say, busload of school kids running around screaming on there.
Yeah, I mean, is
probably
it what?
Worse.
Or tapping on the fish counters.
Pressure. When I do pressure washing, I have a little 3-horse Briggs & Stratton engine running and a hose. Is that what we're talking about, or is this some industrial monstrous thing sitting out there? And we need to put it into the noise program.
So here's
noise.
The deal. That is what I have been led to believe, that it is a small, standard pressure washer that you can get from Sears. Which is why small projects will be reporting every week, because I suspect there will be some deviation from what I was originally told to what will finally come out.
So, Tammy, can you get a 100-foot-long hose?
Yes, you can. In fact, they make them out of
I use 50
rubber.
You can
get that thing about as far away as you need.
If you get a 100-foot hose, you can put
your motors out there. It's problems. There you go. It's just
I'm going to write
those
that
hoses
down.
Come in 50-foot lengths. So you just
put two of them together, and you're outside.
Put two of them together. Well, at 25.
So the water is still within 50 feet.
5 horse on
that. It is, but
the water is
noisy. I like 5 horse.
Yeah, I would too if I could afford it.
Yeah, that's the best here.
So the plan literally is just to clean the space and then.
And then put like a They said like a drivable liner, like a rhino liner. They're gonna rhino liner.
What does that smell like?
This won't work. Nothing's ever worked.
So who designed a flat roof in a wet area? Sorry.
1960s engineers did it.
Yeah, that'll be challenging, but rhino liner's not a bad idea.
Give it a try.
Better than nothing, right? That's what we should
But how will you dry the rhino liner before it gets all wet again? How long will it?
That's why July and August we have a better opportunity for it to be dry.
That'll be like 3 days. Okay.
Thank you.
Good for, have fun. Keep us updated. I see,
it will be
I go
updated.
Out there and do my inspection in late July, and I see some monstrous machine sitting on that deck. I know.
That is my fear. That's why I said they will have to report monthly.
Big old diesel
roaring
away there.
I can see it happening. Right now, they say it won't. All right, so on to the Dells Morts.
Good comments? Good.
Nicely played.
All right.
Comments?
What?
Which one?
Wait a minute.
The Dells 12 MFR.
How many lashes did I say? 30? 20?
You said, 30. I think it was 6 per fish.
I think it was.
Yeah. You need an explanation?
Throw chocolate cookies at me. No, we got it.
All right.
You good? Okay.
Yep. I'm good.
All right, and then one that you haven't seen yet, but it will be sent out today. I was hoping it would be out prior to FPOM, is the Dalles Backup AWS survey, which will be within 100 feet of the Dalles East exit, but they'll be using a fish-friendly jet-driven biodiesel fuel. So, it should all be okay. They're just going to be out there doing the survey in the Four Bay. It doesn't require any operations changes.
When is this?
Significant. When is it? 9th and 10th of April.
Yeah, they were looking at the 9th and 10th of April. Capture the flow ranges. And I haven't taken a close look at this draft coordination form yet.
Okay, well that's
it will be sent
it.
Out.
Yeah, we'll see. Reserve judgment until I see.
Oh yeah, I don't expect.
I do know that. Yeah, they're going to be moving very slowly in the 100-foot area for a total of 30 minutes maybe over the entire course of the survey.
Are there any results from the last survey?
I believe there are.
Biodiesel.
But I don't know off the top of my head. Yeah. We'll get that at Fitterwing, though.
Consolidated salmon oil.
Okay. We'll keep moving, huh?
Yeah.
So I think you have a presentation next for Wasco. The Dalles North Attraction Flow.
Sitting in exactly the wrong spot.
Yeah, so we have George Gilmore and Kurt Conger with North Wasco.
Are you guys going to put something up on the...
I can, but I didn't... Yeah, I think we'll just talk, and then if
we
need clarifications, we can
stand around the other side.
If it's okay, I'll just stand here and talk to the group. My name is Kurt Conger. I'm Director of Power Supply and Transmission in Northern Wasco County PUD, so I'm responsible for acquisition of power resources to serve load in Northern Wasco County, which includes the Dalles, as far east as Celilo Village and as far west as Rowena, and then we go south down to Palm Valley. The current project at the Dalles North Shore Fishway is owned and operated by Northern Wasco County PUD. We provide attraction water at the base of the East Fish Ladder. We have a 5-megawatt hydro turbine, uses 800 CFS to provide attraction water to the diffusion chamber at the base of East Fishway. We have, for a couple of years now, investigated whether opening a second entrance gate at the on the fish ladder and providing additional traction water would improve passage conditions on the East Fish Ladder. And that's what we'll be discussing. North Fish Ladder, I'm sorry.
That one's
George is here to keep me straight, yeah. And I'll introduce him in a minute. He's the author of the study, study plan that was circulated with the meeting materials. If we submitted a draft license amendment to FERC in January 2014, and it described the project in much greater detail, I could put slides up on the wall if that would help, or I have some diagrams here. But effectively, what the project is opening the second entrance gate and providing additional attraction water to meet the criteria for the fish ladder operation. There are other measures that would be included in the proposal to optimize conditions at the base of the fish ladder, and George can explain some of those in his discussion. What we would like to do is some tests to show what the results of providing additional attraction water at the north fish ladder, how it would affect fish passage, and that's the reason for us being here today. We need to do this project and prepare this study basically in support of our draft license amendment. In that amendment, we had some proposed mitigation measures, and those included development and implementation of a flow and fish passage improvement plan in the fish ladder as part of the justification for the project. From my perspective, this project provides value in terms of additional power and non-federal energy that the utility will need for serving customers in our service area beginning in October 2015 into the future. We'd like to ask FPOM today to consider approving the test study plan that George has drafted. And so what I'd like to do is see if George will come up here and go give you a quick summary of what's being proposed and then let you ask questions to clarify what's in that plan. Okay, sure. George Gilmore, he's with Meridian Environmental.
Yeah.
He's part of our project team.
I'm a fish biologist. I've been working with Kurt for a couple years now on the amendment application. And Kurt mentioned that their proposed amended project would essentially double attraction flow at the North Fishway entrance, in addition to increasing their generation from 5 to 10 megawatts, so that's all good. The amendment would also include several other measures to address fish passage issues that have developed at the Dalles Dam over the last few years. First and foremost is the amendment would include provisions to improve entrance conditions for salmon, steelhead, as well as Pacific lamprey. And this would all be done as part of what we're calling a comprehensive flow and fish passage improvement plan. Now, this plan would not be developed in a vacuum. It would be developed with the FPOM, or at least select members of the FPOM. So it would be done in a very collaborative approach. We wouldn't go out there and propose things, and we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do that. You guys know what's going on better than anybody in that system, and your input would be greatly valued, and we would move on from there. Another provision included in the amendment would be to replace some of the aging components in the AWSS. Bob just kind of illustrated some points a little while ago about crumbling infrastructure, literally, in that case. There are quite a few aspects of that North Fishway that are in need of maintenance. Northern Wasco County PUD, if they are to actually move forward with this project and get a license for it, they would have the ability to then address some of those issues. Obviously, as with most new hydro projects anywhere these days that have anadromous fish, new intake screens, criteria screens, developed consultation with the National Marine Fisheries Service, expected to have very similar survival rates to what's there now. Another provision would be to construct a new downstream juvenile fish sampling facility. The existing facility has some issues, and maybe Rick, you can talk a little bit about that. Go ahead.
Well, the current sampling system is vulnerable to low forebay elevations. If the forebay gets too low, then I can't sample. And it's also subject to, the collection tank that I use isn't big enough to handle the full discharge of that dewatering structure, so I have to actually reduce the discharge, which reduces flow. I don't think it has a big impact on fish departing the structure, but it would be better to operate at full design criteria all the time. So putting that sampling system downstream of the discharge point would be advantageous in multiple ways, and plus I would get a new facility to work in. So,
yep.
So does the utility plan on doing that no matter what with this project moving forward or not?
The project...
Hope so.
Well, that's probably a better question for Kurt than for me.
Oops.
Yeah. What we see is this project brings resources in order to make a number of these improvements, and it helps us balance the benefits that are provided for the fisheries with the costs of the project.
Right, because it does impact us if we have to hold the reservoir up to maintain your monitoring. So that would be nice if you could take care of that.
Yeah,
absolutely. And then I think the last main measure that would be included in the amendment would be a proposal to reduce the overall O&M costs to the core for the North Fishway, essentially from the intake to the entrance. And this is something that probably would involve either funding or the use of actual staff from PUD. How that's structured, what the agreement looks like, it's still not really defined, and we don't really know what it's going to look like. Again, that would be developed in consultation with most, if not all of you, core folks. So we see that as being a benefit in that in these times of relatively lean budgets, this is a utility coming in saying, we'll take this over. It's
that's
out of your hands. Everything's good to go.
Can I just jump in there?
Sure.
I know we would definitely appreciate it, some help on that, because like I was mentioning before, we're going to see some of these issues where these structures are, they're hitting their age limit and really it's a major work and budgets are not looking good. So I don't know how we're going to do it in years to come. So any help we can get,
I think we'd love to. So I'll just give you guys a little bit. So before I get into the meat of the study plan, I'll give you a little bit more background on why we're even talking about this. Obviously, the PUD would like to double their generation with the North Fishway Hydro Project. That's great. I think in the last few years, as we've seen some moving toward, as we started moving towards recovery for some stocks, we're seeing these huge slugs of fish pushing up. We're seeing Paul Chinook over the last 2 years, boom. You know, you hear about these numbers passing Bonneville, you go, oh my God, this is great. At the Dalles Dam, you're running into an issue where these fish are stacking up at the East Fishway. There's some concern about delay, et cetera, et cetera. The North Fishway historically only passes about 20% of the fish on an annual basis over the Dalles Dam. During periods of no spill, it drops down to about 6%. And during some periods, during periods of some magnitudes of spill, you see counts go as high as 80% for the North Fishway. So spill and attraction and all these issues, you know, intertwined with the new wing wall, there's some interesting hydraulics going on there. And we see this as an opportunity to really enhance passage conditions, you know, not just at the North Fishway, but as over the dam as a whole. Let's see here. Okay. So the traction flow study that I was talking about, that I'm talking about today, is really phase one of this flow and fish passage improvement plan. And essentially what we're doing, it's a pretty simple study. We're proposing to... From April 1 to October 31 of 2015, we're going to do a 800 CFS on, 1600 CFS on the traction flow test at the North Fishway. Beginning April 1st, 1600 CFS for, 7 day period, 168 hours. Drop it to 800 CFS, seven day period, 168 hours. And keep doing alternating those flow conditions throughout that period from April 1 to October 31.
So is this a randomized block design?
This is just on, off, on, off. We could develop, I mean, this is a preliminary draft. I mean, it's something that we would all appreciate any comments that you might have on it.
Yeah, let me throw one thing out there. This group is going to, is not so much a studies group as it is the O&M group.
Right,
so
okay, yeah.
SRWG would be the best place, and we've talked about that, to have the study itself and design of the study, statistics and things like that looked at. This is more the mechanics.
Okay.
The O&M, what you just said about saving money, or not so much saving money, but offering that work to.
So I won't get into too much of the nitty-gritty about the data analysis and everything else, but essentially 800, 1600 CFS on and off throughout the April to October period.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I don't know that much about the DAL, so I'm kind of a sideline, but conduit-wise and pushing that 1600, how is that going to be compared to a normal ladder operation. So
you're hitting. You're just zeroing right on the issue.
That
was a plan, right?
Like I said, I'm kind of naive, and I'm just
It's a great question.
Trying to understand.
It's a great question. There's some concerns.
Not so bad.
You want to address that, Kurt, or you want to take a shot?
You go ahead, and I'll fill in where I need to.
The way we provide 1600 CFS would be through the existing project, as it is today, and then we would withdraw another 800 CFS into the old bypass system and plunge pool. So there's a, is the whole thing rock lined?
This is where I need
this is really
I can hold this up, try to explain this. The water intake for the AWSS is here. This is the face of the Dalles Dam. There's a tanker gate here, which is normally open during most operational periods. And this intake structure was constructed by Northern Wasco County PUD. It's a screening facility and intake structure for our powerhouse. Prior to the existence of that intake structure, the tanker gate dumped right into a canal and a series of plunge pools. The lower plunge pool is where it ultimately dissipates energy, and then water is exited through the diffusion gratings at the base of the fish ladder. So for the test, we would plan to continue to run our powerhouse at full capacity, moving 800 CFS through the intake structure, penstock, powerhouse. The exit or draft tube from the powerhouse goes into the diffusion chamber here. The plunge pool is used during abnormal operating conditions of our powerhouse, but for these tests, we would open two sluice gates, or one or two sluice gates, depending on how much we need to achieve the desired flow, and then water would flow through this bypass system and then into the diffusion chamber to achieve 1600 CFS. The entrance gates to the fish ladder are here and here. Entrance gate one is currently used as an adjustable weir. Entrance gate two is has a bulkhead located in it. We would replace the bulkhead for these tests with another adjustable weir, and we would use a series of cables and lifting bars to adjust that for the test period.
Is that automatic, or is that what you guys have
we'd
to do?
We'd use a crane.
So it'd be something that, depending on tailwater. So you have to be careful with that.
We have a spare weir for that.
From the south side.
It's the gearboxes and everything have not been maintained. They're in pretty bad shape, so they'd have to do manual adjustments to those. Mm-hmm.
So the once a week, is that going to be enough to keep maintain criteria?
No, I would think so.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're. PUD watches it and it's so close.
We don't normally have it on. It's not a big issue. It's just that if you want a good test, you don't want it to be starved for water or something, screwy there. You want it to be in good shape and running properly. So just a good chance for me to jump in here, maybe, or do you have more to say about this one?
No, I think I've addressed the question about how we would bypass
I can lay out this. These concerns.
Sure. Well, I got one question, and that is, how would you be looking at fish count numbers, or what's your metric to say that this is working pretty good or not?
Well, that's a great question. We're gonna we would compare the 800 to 1600 CFS fish counts using data collected and presented on the Corps website, fish count website. We then do a test, a pretty simple student's t-test, to figure out if there's a significant difference between counts at the North Fishway at the two attraction flow regimes. If we do see a significant difference, we then work with all of you and say, what is the trigger to say this is good enough? This is what we want to see. I don't know what a number is. Do we want to see a 20% improvement, 30%? That's something that may take quite a few weeks.
A trigger, you may just have to be able to say, yes, it's an improvement, or no, it's not an improvement.
Yeah, and that's something that's...
And that goes forward to the folks that are making decisions on this. But how much is enough? Scott's going to have a different opinion than you. So.
Sure, yeah, exactly. And that's...
anything would be a help.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think the key issues here are going to be that rock wall. That if those for those of you around in the early to mid-90s, we were worried about that rock wall was coming apart. I think it was under the Project Improvements for Endangered Species, the PIES program. We went in there and shotcreted and rock bolted that channel kind of to try to stabilize it as best as we can. Bob, were you here then?
Yeah, I think there was
or Bob Dock, maybe it was a Bob anyway. But so that channel is somewhat fragile, and what you're talking about is for several months you're going to be putting flow down that channel periodically, on off during this test to see to test the adult passage issues. But that is our backup. If you guys lose your unit, that's our backup route. Well, we don't want that channel falling apart on us in the process of doing this test and then have a problem with that. So, Bob, you were looking at doing some assessment of that channel. So I think that's a key thing, is that channel needs to be able to withstand the test.
Right.
It's kind of a backup emergency right now. And you're talking about really running it for a large part of the season. So that's a key thing, I think.
We were planning on having Geotech come in, but the last I heard, PUD was also going to do the same thing, and so we just kind of duplicate the efforts.
Oh, really?
But
you guys are looking at doing it too?
That's still the case.
Either
way, it's going to be looked at by
Geotech. Yeah.
The February outage this year is pretty important because we plan to dewater the entire facility, and including the lower plunge pool. And we have a geotech engineer who will be attending that outage and doing an evaluation of the lower plunge pool, and we'll he'll write a technical memorandum on what his findings are and make any recommendations for reinforcing it. And of course, we'd welcome any other engineering resources who want to participate in that. If you are interested in being part of that review, there are core requirements for training to work in enclosed spaces that have to be completed prior to that. But our geotech is aware of these and is planning to be on site to do that evaluation in February.
So we're looking at the core.
On-site structural engineers also going to be involved.
So you guys are going to be involved. Your folks, whoever you have in there, is going to be a contract probably. Involved, so you guys will go through that. So that's kind of the key for this group, I think, is we want to make sure that we continue to have the emergency system available to us in case you have a problem with your unit. So we don't want to have that compromised as a result of the study. Otherwise, you get a clean bill of health to do that.
Yeah.
And I don't really see, I think from an O&M standpoint, it's good.
But just one other thing, Gary, because the force metric involves fish counts. Right, it's an O&M, the fish counts were just at the Dallas North Platte the other day. That may be another area where we could get some support, is fish counting, because that's going to be the metric.
I'm not going to give you chartreuse just because of this.
Power Bay Green, Gary.
Power Bay Green.
Well, then, I was thinking, too, one of the things we talked about was delay, because there's the numbers, and then there's if you're reducing delay, there might be something that we might build into your study plan.
That's kind of a different area to evaluate. But
don't think so. I do have a question when I have a chance.
Okay.
Will we be able to, how will you assess the project operation? And have you considered that in terms of your design? Certainly, will impact the fish that utilize that
east offshore. Well, that's a good question. The way that I envisioned it was that you're going to do your best to maintain what are called typical operations. What is typical? Well, nothing's ever typical, but And that's really.
Well, you've got N1's typical, and N1 right. plus N2 is atypical, and you've got to test the difference between the two.
But if you're talking about, you know, river conditions, flow conditions, generation conditions, it's going to be whatever it is.
Well, that's just the way it is.
That's
why randomizing might be the right step.
Right. And that's, we could certainly develop a bunch of blocks and pick, you know, pick some and see how that goes.
That's not a hard thing to do.
Randomize and t-test.
And, you know, we could bring on a, you know, PhD statistician to help with that. That's not a big deal.
Yeah, and that's what SRWG, our study review work group, is good for that kind of comment. Yeah.
It is actually trickier than, not necessarily so straightforward because of the temporal aspect.
Right.
The fish runs in general. So
right.
If you happen to be there at the peak of the run, you catch a bunch of fish.
Yeah, is that significant or is that just the peak of the run? You know?
That's why you want to randomize.
Yeah. So the other thing I just wanted to add real quick, too, is that I know there's been some work with spill tests at spill bays 1, 7, and 8 over the last year or so. And this would has the opportunity to complement additional work associated with that. And we'd have to work out how, you know,
that would occur. Yeah, that could be a complication or one way or the other, So
but it would need to be addressed.
We don't know where we're going with that yet either, so.
Okay.
Stay tuned.
Thank you.
Sure.
So what is the screen system that is going to be used or is currently on there?
It's
the existing screen system was constructed in about 1990 on the intake structure to exclude fish from our turbine and bypass them through a polyethylene pipe, and that's where Rick's sampling facility is. For the test, what will happen is that the screen system will continue to be used for turbine flow, but for the sluice, any juveniles may be entrained and go through the sluice gates, which are down at the bottom of the intake structure, and then they go through the plunge pools and then into the diffusion chamber.
So for the test, there won't be a good screen?
Well, half the water will be screened and half will be unscreened.
Essentially.
I'm also wondering what that would do for shut it off, so you're doing this sort of periodic random sampling. As I shut off, you might have some juveniles and adults or maybe sturgeon.
Or lamprey as well. It's kind of concerned about artificially attracting lamprey.
There's not much chance of adult fish because the trash bag bars are real narrow, so maybe it's a midget.
No, you're not going to
screen that side. They are.
I think
it's not going to be a juvenile issue, and Rick's been monitoring that for years now, and so I think that's the part of the analysis you guys need to do is risk assessment based on the monitoring that he's done. What juvenile numbers do you expect to have end up in that channel, and it's not a good ride for that.
Yeah, and depending on the numbers, you know, we realize this would require a take permit from NIMS to conduct the study, and that's something we developed work together on that.
You're coming.
How soon can we get this out to SRWG?
That's a question for me.
Well, I don't know. We're hoping that if the group, you know, is agreeable to doing the study from an O&M perspective, that we can immediately take the study plan to SRWG and get their comments and approvals.
And this is a bit of a crunch just because the shutdown
February. The issue here is you're talking about several months of operation of that channel. And so we need to know what the condition of the channel is and whether it can withstand that kind of operation over that period of time. Otherwise, you start losing sample blocks. If you're not, you know, all of a sudden now you're down to a month or a month and a half. Is that enough blocks to actually see a difference versus looking at the entire year or so?
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of a study design question, but it hinges on that assessment, I think, because that could restrict your amount of time that you can be in there.
And I would say even if the assessment came out thumbs up, you know, it's a go. I would say it still might warrant some inspections, you know, early in the study just to make sure things aren't falling apart.
So what year are you proposing your study?
Nothing like the present, 2015.
Man, that's
optimistic, huh?
Yeah.
To reschedule the meeting with EPA and the Corps of Management.
That meeting has not been rescheduled at this time.
You're bringing bigger issues than what we can deal with here.
It never happened if the other issues.
Understand that, but given the fact that it may happen, we need to think it through. And that's they're asking what's the opinion of this group on the O&M side of this thing, not the policy side.
Well, there's issues in the O&M whether or not they can O&M for us. So
I understand. Okay, that's a good point.
There's a multiple things that
you
are
still.
You would
throw them off a project if they tried to fix something. That's interesting.
It's divest the asset time.
Yeah. I think the bottom line here is that I think the PUD's philosophy or feeling here is that it's a win-win. It's a win for Fish, it's a win for their power. If I'm BPA, I'm going, ooh, that's 800 CFS that's coming out of our pocket. So it's a balancing act, and
I think
this study essentially is, I'm trying to put the blinders on to everything else. I'm saying, what's good for the fish? If this indicates that it's a benefit to Fish Passage,
that's
let the other folks deal with the policy and make the call.
You identify the critical path, right? That's the critical path, so I think you're right on track.
Okay.
If any repairs are needed to the channel for the study, then it's going to be delayed as well. We'll go do those.
That would be a crunch.
You guys understand that.
Yes.
Go forward until you get a roadblock.
So not to cause too many waves here, but you did mention discussing NOAA with NOAA, a take permit. I assume you've also thought about discussing with Fish and Wildlife Service about take permit for bull trout. It's not, in my opinion, a huge problem, but it's a box you need to check.
Yes.
And go through.
Yeah, we're aware of that.
Sure.
Yeah. Thanks. Great. Well, thanks for your time, you guys. Appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Kind of barged into the FPOM here. And
no, that's fine. That's well on the schedule.
So we assess the rock punch pool and everything that comes up and you go and then there is some damage after the test.
Well, the Freedom Project proposal would reinforce that whole lower plunge pool with concrete walls. That's kind of the first stage of it. Now, maybe there's a chicken and egg problem there from many of your perspectives. we would need resources to get in there and. You know, maybe that's a good question to put to the engineer. If there was damage, what would a cost estimate be for that?
At least
damage?
To get it back to the original.
Correct. Yeah.
Shitty condition.
Right.
This thing.
When would work occur? Would be in the in-water work period, Gary. If there was damage found
in the channel,
dewatering of the channel.
Right.
You could only do it work though. You can only do it during the in-water work period last year. Or
well, that's just to blow that channel.
It's going to be isolated when the project's just running as
it
normally
is.
Would.
It is, so I think they could not. Depends on what
it is. If
shot,
you need it,
shot reading, do we need to go back and rock bolt it? That'll take some time. Are you in there, jackhammering or doing all that kind of stuff? Yeah.
Really not going to lose, huh?
And I mean, it is the backup facility at the moment, so you don't want it out of service due to construction.
That's our biggest concern. That's our biggest concern. So, well, I'm the wait to hear from Geotech, from the two groups, and see what they think. And you're right, Scott. That's an issue too.
Can we get another invitation to the FPOM in February to address this?
Sure.
Good to go.
Now, you mentioned the study design maybe going before SRWG. I guess is that. When is the full study design going to be put together? Do you have a timetable for that?
Well, the draft study design was provided to all you guys in the email that we sent out by Tammy. I'm sensing that we're going to need to modify it somewhat, and I can talk to her about that. Maybe I want to get some.
I think a timeline for
Dave, in
the
email, I said go to the link because it was.
Get a timeline for the assessment.
Yeah.
I'd go through that and then go ahead and send it out to SRWG. I mean, SRWG can look at these things at any time. So okay.
I guess as far as timing goes, you mentioned 2015. Do you want to get the assessment first and then proceed with SRWG or concurrently? Because if you're going to get comments back, and a lot of them might revolve around entrance efficiencies and RT and some other methods as well. And time's kind of running out for.
If you're talking about AFIP dollars for research, yes.
And that'll be none of that.
Right, but if the Corps were to do this, we would.
Right.
You'd be held to a standard to look at some things around that entrance, I would think. But it's an SRWG discussion. But.
It is, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't expect this to get worse.
Right.
I wouldn't expect anything to get worse.
Right.
They're after how much better. It's kind of up to them to decide how much resources to throw at it to see how much better, you know, what level, what bar you're looking at. That's up to you guys. I wouldn't expect it to get worse, so I'm not looking at it. It's a one-tail test, not a two-tail test. So for us.
Oh, yeah. Ain't nothing such a joke.
Well stated. That was funny. That was good. That was really good. I was there.
Would it be beneficial to get it on the SRWG agenda as a draft early on?
Yeah, I'm just thinking, you know, as much time as you know, we can have.
So it sounds like it would give a relatively solid thumbs up from this group.
Yeah,
so we can get it out here in the next, you know, probably right after the holidays and see what those guys have to say. And,
I'm not thumbs up. I thought
there was no
solid thumbs up.
Scott was smiling the whole way. Right. See, he's still smiling.
I'm not.
Do that above his head and I'll take a picture.
When is the next SRWG?
I don't
know. Do we have one on the calendar?
I don't know. Yet. I think we
yeah, there is one. It would be a January funded proposal. The funded proposal meeting, which would be January sometime. And then after that, the new cycle starts over again with all the new.
Unless you call it ad hoc.
Needs, priorities,
right?
Unless you have ad hoc.
Yeah, we would probably call it ad hoc.
This wouldn't have to be ad hoc. I was thinking this would be just mail it out to the members and have them look it over.
SRWG is the same day as FCON.
Oh, joy.
Perfect, right?
Yeah.
They're both in
Portland.
Where's
Uber?
Once
though, I'll send a notice on that, please.
I think I talked to
you. You guys always tell us you're going to do what you're going to do, and there's nothing you can say about it.
I wanted to mention also that we're doing a computational fluid dynamics model of the entrance gates under various flow regimes. It sounds like that study maybe have a better home in the SRWG in terms of getting peer review. There's no O&M implications to it. It would obviously inform this study in terms of what flow patterns
that's a
we expect to exist.
That's a fitter wig. That's another one. So you're going to be in all of them.
That's being done by Mort McMillan of McMillan.
That's the same thing as FPOP too, right?
Probably.
It's essentially using the course model to run those. So
Yeah, so those results would be, if you guys want review of that, that's engineering. Okay. So that wouldn't be studies review, that is actually fitter weight where that kind of stuff gets done. So in the core process, which all of us have to jump through. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Tell Bern I said hi. I went to college with him. My first fish class with Bern. Yeah.
Right.
Long ago.
Bern? Who?
Clap.
Where is he anyway? Is he supposed to be here?
He's supposed to show up again in January.
I think he retires.
He did not retire. Acceptable.
I just looked at Tammy. I sent everything. I didn't even send him stuff.
He just sends it to me anyway, so I might as well.
What's the point? I know he didn't read it. I think I sent him.
Gordy, Dell's North Fish Count Improvements?
Yes. So this is just a follow-on from we talked the last couple FCONs about video fish counting improvement opportunities.
That's what we're working on right now.
And so Kyle Farrow has been working with us to show us what some of the possibilities are for video results. Anyway.
Sorry for the projector position. Totally missed the screen when I walked in here this morning. Sorry.
That's good. That's fine. It's not on my forehead.
Excellent. I'm Sal Barros. I'm the owner of Pixel Heavy Industries, LLC. I've been writing software since middle school. Worked on the world's largest humor website, so I'm partially responsible for the proliferation of cat pictures on the internet. Yeah, my bad. I also worked on some AI stuff, some 3D modeling stuff, and video editing, stuff like that. Yeah, we're looking to install video equipment in Dallas North. Right now, they're counting 4,300 hours a year, give or take. Most of that is just empty water. I'm sure you guys have all seen fish before. This is some video we shot out there. September 18th, just a couple weeks after the peak of the fall Chinook run. Turns out most of the fish go to the East Ladder because there's free coffee and donuts over there. We wanted to see if we could run some motion detection on this video and cut out the dead space, so the fish counters aren't just sitting there staring at empty water all day. Here's the software I wrote. Do you guys want to see how it works? Okay. So source data comes in. The system generates a rolling baseline image. Basically, it's the fish slot without any fish in it. It's just a rolling 20-second exposure, so all the fish zipping through fade out. Because it's a rolling exposure, it's always updating with the environmental lighting changes, the sun going over the top and stuff. We subtract that from the incoming source video. I can point with my finger. That's awesome. to get this differential image in the lower left. If there's a big enough contiguous blob of difference, we trigger the recording in the lower right. We want a big contiguous area because we don't want the bubble clouds to come through triggering it. And we can set that threshold to any size. So what are those little 6-inch minnows you get through there?
Lots of different kinds.
Yeah.
Some are salmon, some are pike minnow.
The pike minnow. Yeah, like 200 pike minnow come through at once, it won't set it off. Because each contiguous area has to be of a certain size, and we can set it to whatever we want. Here it is in operation. As soon as that guy leaves the frame, the recording pauses. New fish comes in, boom. If you look closely, you can see flickers from bubbles and stuff. It's not triggering the recording. There'll be ripples at the top here and there. Here's the results. It was more than we expected. We got about half an hour of video out of 5 hours. So they're sitting there a lot. You can see as soon as the fish leave the frame, the next ones are coming in. So there's about 4 time gaps that have been removed just from this video so far. I think this is probably about a 10-minute clip originally.
Are you using digital cameras or analog?
This was just a Logitech webcam, so it was just a proof of concept. In real life, we'd probably be using a security camera, IP.
Yeah, digital. I know the digital cameras end up having these huge file sizes.
There will be huge file sizes, but source won't be an issue.
Yeah.
It's about, I think, 10 gigabytes an hour, and 10.6% compression ratio. You'd think it would be 2.5 hours for the whole 24-hour period. We only got 560 fish that day, which is about, we only got about 1,100 fish that day. The 560 we saw in these 34 minutes was about half the daily fish total. So you're looking at just over an hour of compressed video right off the peak of the fall run. Accuracy, we want to improve the accuracy. I think Bonneville right now is using about 400 or 480p, if I'm not mistaken. Anybody seen the camera they use? I think it's like either High 8 or Mini DV. This is generations better. In this context, it's going to be about 1 millimeter resolution. So you should be able to pick out the white gums on a coho, I'm thinking. I don't know if they have trouble distinguishing coho from Jack Chinook right now, but this should eliminate any problem if there is.
It's always going to be soft.
Yeah, this should help a lot. Right now, there's a huge human element in just direct counting. If you glance up at the clock and miss a sockeye zipping through or something. Also, when like a bunch of, you know, jack adult borderline Chinook zip through at once, they can pause on the individual frame and get an accurate count there. Even better, you don't have to interpolate 17% of your data if you're taking 24/7, 365 counts. 10 minutes a day, they're not counting during the daytime counts. So that's a lot of interpolation, and with the non-linearity that these guys tend to exhibit, I'm hoping that'll improve accuracy too. You could take 24/7, 365 while still decreasing your counting cost. So you could get all the night counts, you could get the off-season stuff, see if maybe you get some mermaids through there when you're not looking. I think it could be. they can still leave at the end of October and just come back in April and have a 20-hour highlight reel waiting for them when they get back. This is the system plan, 1080p security camera, like I said, decent image processing computer, and a UPS in place. They plug in like 50 coffee pots and trip a breaker. We have a redundant hot spare running all the time. If you guys want another hot spare, we could. But I talked to the security guys who do video security down at SeaTac. They only run one hot spare at any given time. So I think that's enough. The equipment should only be about $4,000 per layer. So it's trivial to throw in a third. Paired with the counting workstation, or maybe a second one. The jog dial makes it really nice to fast forward and rewind quickly, get to the frame you want. That would be backed up by UPS as well. I wanted to try to get an estimate of how much time this would save for the whole year. So I took the daily count totals like the Wasco guys did off the core site. I had to pop in the shad data from Bonneville, Bradford Island, because you don't count shad at the Dells. It'll still trigger the recording, so we got to factor it in. I multiplied it by 4 seconds per fish. the average I saw just watching my video with a stopwatch was about 3.6 seconds, so I rounded up to 4. So this assumes that every fish is coming by a single file. In real life, they cluster. That will drop the numbers even further. Nevertheless, it's about 27% of the current counting time. And the huge shad run lump there on the left, you could probably fast forward through that because you're just trying to pick out the Chinook that are going through. Unless you want to start counting shad, which, you know, you could for cheaper than you're paying today. No? You guys don't like shad? Okay, cool.
We've been through that already.
Cool, yeah. Good. I won't start a war here. So yeah, you could fast forward through that and chop the top half of that block off. Either way, 27% is a really good starting point.
A participant has left the conference.
I don't know what's good.
I offended somebody already. If you guys disagree with anything, just throw something heavy at me. This is what it would look system-wide, probably, using my estimates. I got the backing data. If anybody wants to see the Excel spreadsheet, I would love some eyes on it to vet my assumptions. But I basically just applied all the numbers off the core website with that four-second formula. Came up with this. Snake River Dams, no surprise, dropping by an order of magnitude. This doesn't necessarily mean you could just cut off 75% of your contracting bill, I'm assuming, basically because they still need to staff at least 2 people at each fish counting station, but it would be a huge reduction in cost.
Well, I mean, you're basing that on things we're paying for time.
Right.
We pay for the ladder to be monitored, so we could renegotiate another contract, but you've heard
exactly
our contracting process.
Well, this sounds like an accuracy issue. I mean, that's and night counts, you know, which...
Yeah, you're only taking, what, half the night counts?
Yeah, I'm not trying to random grade. I'm just saying we'd have to work some things sooner.
Right. Probably
contract.
No, yeah.
The fish going broke.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Cutting 75% of hours is not cutting 75% of cost. But your RFP is up for renewal, like, when? Fall? You're going to start?
16, I believe.
16? So if you had this up and running, you could write a much cheaper RFP going forward.
You bet. No.
Cool.
We'll be writing it during 15 for implementation in spring of 16. So we'll be starting likely in early summer, late spring, early summer on putting that together.
I know Greg's on the phone. I was trying to queue up Greg though.
He's dead silent, but...
Yeah, I can't really butt in very well.
We're fine.
Do you want to butt in, Greg? You got anything to offer here?
Well, the only thing that the considerations that I have in mind are, you know, some of the problems that I have heard over the years, and that is, you know, stacking of fish, you know, tons of shad in front of the count of the proverbial fish that we want to get, like the Chinook itself. That stacking is a big, big, big thing that goes on in some of the lower dams there. Hopefully we can get that cleared up. And then the other thing, too, is turbidity. We have big turbidity issues in the Snake River. Spring runs and the wheeling. It's hard to count the fish at those times.
Turbidity being water clarity or bubbles?
Yes. Yeah, water clarity. How does that affect your system? I guess what your camera sees is what the people see, so it's not going to be any difference there.
Yeah.
But
what the camera sees is what the people see. But even short, it's just taking dead space out. So if the people can see it, the camera can see it. It's just taking out the place where there are no fish.
And is that affected by turbidity?
If it's affecting the humans, it's going to affect the camera, too.
Yeah, I think there's a loss of quality compared to sitting at a window and watching fish go by and watching video of it, especially when we're talking about underwater video. It's not the same as taking video just right here in this room, for example.
It's not, but the thing is you can throw, like, polarization filters on there. I mean, we're talking about the big screen TVs you see when you walk into Costco or Best Buy. That's the clarity.
This is 1080p. This isn't...
You're asking whether the camera's going to cut
HD
out when a fish is present. If there's turbidity.
That's the issue, is missing fish when it doesn't see them.
If the camera doesn't see them, it's not going to record them. And if a human can't see them, they won't count them either. The thing is with the camera, you can play with the contrast, you can play with the brightness settings, so you can adjust the conditions throughout the year. If it's a super big problem, you can also make lighting changes. So long as you're shining enough light in there, generally those guys are so sparkly, they'll be picked up even through cloudy water.
So what is your program actually seeking out, the contrast difference?
Yeah, and the program's just basically saying, here's the background, here's what I see, what's the difference, highlight that, is that area big enough, set that bigness rating can be set to any threshold, and if there's enough.
So how much contrast is there needed to identify that there's something there?
That's thresholdable.
Right.
And that's where we were discussing the different colors for the background on the Crowder panel and which colors should we start with.
You want to go to the other green, I don't know.
Actually, I mean, if you went to white, if you had a lot of, we're talking muddy water or bubbly water?
Or muddy, muddy water.
If you went to white, green water. These, and it's only about a meter deep, right? Okay, yeah, if you went to white, even with pretty muddy water, it would still pick up the outline of those guys.
Okay.
And in fact, if you went to white, it would solve a host of issues.
It comes down to Chinook and Coho might be an issue getting a color, but you can still get shape, which does give you some of that.
Yeah.
A good fish counter is going to know what's what, okay. At least from a steel.
Yeah, and they're going to also have to take a look at it, whether the fish is clipped or unclipped, too.
Yeah, you can get that with a silhouette.
Yeah, silhouette should pick that out.
I mean, what about, have you ever tried experimenting with Didson?
What?
Didson or hydroacoustics type imaging?
No, not yet. I'm trying to keep this big
yeah,
steps.
Yeah, that's pretty.
Yeah, that's to tell, you know, jacks, adults, so different, all the various species come through this.
You wouldn't get species, yeah, but you yeah. probably might be able to. So it's really sure,
it's somebody. Yeah, you could. It would, but it's going to be a fuzzier image. Yeah.
Generally speaking, you can crank, just playing with the image settings, you can crank a camera up to at least as good as a human, if not better. You can also pick up UV and some infrared, you know, water tends to filter out infrared. But cameras have a larger wavelength range than most humans. If you take out the UV filter on the front of the lens. We could play with that, with the turbidity too. What season is it most turbid?
May.
Spring.
So the spring shadow don't really run up the snake, do they? Much?
Some, yeah.
There's some.
They're primarily a snake.
Okay.
But we do get in the lower Columbia too.
Turbidity? High turbidity?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So yeah, that might be something we have to experiment with. I can probably buy a fish tank and grab some dirt and play with it a little bit.
This estimate that you have is 50,000 hours each year.
Yeah.
Does that include, did you subtract the time that it takes an individual to look through each tape afterwards and count the fish and identify the species?
Yeah, this is the raw tape length. So, and assuming they're all going through a single file taking 4 seconds each. Mm-hmm. So, I think it's like 63,000 total hours you're counting right now. Knocking off 50,000 is about 13,000 hours.
That's huge.
That's assuming they're going at normal speed. A lot of these guys go so slow they can zip through at like 1.3x, knock that down even further. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, with the shad run, if they're quick, they might be able to do 2x speed.
What's the frame rate on that? Is that a 60 or?
We can start with 30 and go 60 if we wanted to. It's a file size issue.
Yeah, slowing it down with 60 is a lot better than slowing it down.
Yeah, we could run 60. I mean, there's a ton of 1080p, 60 frames per second cameras out there. Yeah. So it's how beefy you want the computers to be. But the equipment's so cheap, we can go 60.
What video do we currently have?
Like I said, I didn't get a model number off Bonneville. I believe it was a mini DV or a high 8. That's like late 90s technology. It's high 8's 400p, probably 400i actually. P and I means interlaced and progressive. So interlaced, you get a combing effect when you pause the video. This is progressive, so it's the whole frame at once.
If it's high 8, I want dibs on the camera if it goes to surplus.
Yeah, we all have high 8.
I have a high 8 stuff. I can't.
But that might give you an idea of run some of the existing film if you want to see it.
Do you guys archive that or do you record over? Because, I'd love to get a hold of that.
Greg, we have some archived. I'm sure we've got some archived that we can get you.
Okay, that'd be fantastic. I mean, otherwise.
Yeah, I've got some disk archive, a real busy day in September.
Perfect. That'd be fantastic.
And you can calculate error estimates, too, based on the snips of video versus real time video, too. Have you done that? Or to put bounds on the camera's count versus what the people look at?
No, because this video was super crisp. There was no mistaking anything in the video I shot so far. It wasn't turbid or any weird jack coho mixture at all. Well, there probably were, actually. So, no, not yet.
I was just thinking if there's a potential for some false signals like bubbles or debris or something like that.
Yeah, like I said, it'll cut down most bubbles and most debris unless you get a log or like a live beaver through there. That'll probably trigger it. But for the most part, small stuff.
Or a sea lion.
Or a sea lion. I'd love to know about that. Okay, so anyway, there's a size threshold. I mean, it's looking at the contiguous island size of that white space, so you can set that to any width and height you want and set the threshold there. And then,
So it's not a couple questions came to my mind. As you're looking at this video on this system image, can you zoom in without losing resolution? Do you have the ability to zoom in and if you're not quite sure what you're looking at? Or
You'll lose resolution.
You'll lose resolution, but not much. Okay. 1080p is basically 2,000 pixels by 1,000 pixels. That is a lot.
That's a lot.
If you want to go look at my Mac right there, that's just, it's the same width, it's a little more height, but I can show you a Coho head one up on there, and it's, there's no mistaking it.
Yeah, that's okay. That's pretty good. Oh, it's HD.
Yeah.
I mean, it is HD.
So, follow-on question then. You said you have to set the size or the area that you're looking for?
Yeah, the size of the object.
The size of the object. Threshold. So what are you going to set it at?
Probably like 8 inches. We can do anything we want. I'll probably be...
Is that an 8-inch tube or an 8-inch football? What is that?
I was thinking 8x2, but it's width and height. Or we can even do minimum bounding rectangles so it can be rotated any dimension.
What I'm thinking of, and I came to mind is looking at the, at least what was projected up there, the very bottom of the ladder concerns me if something like a lamprey is crawling along the bottom, or will it even pick up a lamprey if it's the right shape?
Yeah, it'll pick up a lamprey.
Okay.
Because you never get a 6-inch lamprey, right?
Well, not usually.
Not that you're counting.
We
do have dwarf lamprey coming past Bonneville now.
Dwarf lamprey.
Dwarf lamprey.
Okay.
If you want.
Yeah, they're like precocious.
That's the thing about mini jacks. I think would be probably the biggest issue that I would see is get these small shit up there. Coming back, precocial. Little guys, you may lose some of those.
You can set the threshold to any size you want.
Yeah, but then you start losing more. Yeah, you lose some of those 50,000 hours is what you
lose. Yeah, you do.
So you'd want to be able to say, you know, well, maybe they're not that important. We don't need to see every one of them. You know, that's every question. But
I'll get to it in a minute, but your staffing is probably going to be spiked out during the shad run, and then it's going to drop way down off peak. And so you may just go for more video because unless you can hire, like, one-month counters, you're going to have to lay off a bunch of people. And so to keep it at an even threshold, you might just go for more video and let them fast forward. This gives you the option to do anything you want. And that 50,000, that's a conservative estimate, like I said. Currently you're staffing proportional to hours counted. This is more proportional to fish or video captured. But you got to staff at least two people at each station still, because even if they're only coming in for an hour a day, they got to take weekends and stuff. We could get away from that by centralizing everything.
I'm just going to ask that. Yeah.
Yeah. So if the system uploads its 10 gigabyte files to the internet using a nice beefy internet connection, people can sit at a central location where it's not cold and concrete and pull off clips as they come in.
You said nice internet connection?
Nice internet connection. Yeah. Dallas wouldn't have any problem. They're right next to Google.
Join the conference.
Everybody's going to have a problem with that.
Yeah.
If you're familiar with the cores. Internet connection.
Yes, my dad does global network installs, so I was talking to him.
This is dial-up.
You'd be lucky to get DSL at some of these places. Yeah.
So apparently they're running satellite internet to diamond mines that are like 2 days off the grid, and they're getting really fat pipes up and down. So we could do satellite. It would be infrastructure cost, but you want fast internet everywhere, more than likely anyway. So
that's the future.
Yeah, it's the future. You're going to need it for something, if not this. So this is what a fish counter's home screen would look like. The system would kick out an individualized feed for each fish counter. So it's making sure, number one, that almost nothing is double counted, and that the high priority dams get counted first if you want something like that. They just go top to bottom. As soon as they're done counting full screen, it archives the clip with the associated counts that they entered on that little custom keyboard they have. Pulls it off the stack, lets them do the next one. If they ever want to, they can zoom down and do something else first for some reason if somebody reported a mermaid sighting. The cool thing about archived counts and video clips is that you guys can do spot auditing anytime you want. Auditing is not easy right now, is my understanding, without sitting next to the counters and having them yell out loud what each species is. This would give you a chance to do that. Make sure you're hitting that 95% accuracy rating. Even better though, the system could do the auditing for you. It can inject the same video clip into two separate counter streams, check the difference in the counts. Hopefully they're plus or minus 5%. If not, you'll see it on the daily, weekly, monthly report. So you can check the overall system accuracy, see if there's any people that need some retraining or something, stuff like that. Any questions about this part so far?
Why is the guy doing so poorly?
Never trust small guys with black hair. That's why. And those other people are doing poorly only when they're compared to that guy. That's why you get the occasional spikes there. That's them being compared against him, and so he's dragging them down. So get rid of the boat anchor. So better than paying humans to count is paying computers to count for you. You guys all know LiDAR, right? Bottom of harbors and riverbeds and stuff. Generates a 3D model. We could potentially, if we could get a high-res 3D scan of the fish counting slot, like 15 frames per second maybe, and 1 centimeter resolution, small enough to pick up a clipped lens, clipped steelhead, out of bus fin, you could really easily track the path of each fish so you get a count, but better yet, you could count the species. This leaves off chum, bull trout, and tule white salmon. Am I getting that right? The tule whites? The new guys.
Tule chinook,
sorry. And this is kind of a Jurassic Park algorithm, if you ever read Jurassic Park. So the real algorithm would be a lot more complex. This just gives you a sense, though. Lamprey are super easy to identify. They look like little earthworms. Shad have a deep boomerang tail. So if you got a 1 centimeter resolution 3D model, the computer can easily look at those polygons right there and say, nope, that's a shad. Also the deep chest. Adult chinook, just based on length. Steelhead have that distinct fin shape and also a distinct body shape. The system can take just virtual fillets of the fish going front to back and read the shape. Yeah, same with the sockeye.
Fin's not very consistent on steelhead.
Okay. So the tail fin or the anal fin or both?
Dorsal. I don't know. The tail is usually pretty good. Caudal's usually pretty good. Eroded quite as bad.
Because it's eroded with fungus or
something. It could be. Yeah, it could be that.
So we might have to go with body shape on the steelhead.
Body shape's better if you can do it.
Okay, yeah. No, because you can just, I mean, when you have this thing in 3D, you can cut this fish any way you want to. Yeah. Coho and Jack Chinook might be a little tougher. Coho's different. Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's tough.
But here's the thing: because the system knows where the fish is in space at any given moment, it can zoom a camera in on that space and take a really high res photo of the face. You might be able to run facial recognition on it. No. Okay. Or you might have to just kick it out to a human to do. Take a high res photo of just the fish, kick it out to humans to just do that distinction right there. What else do they use to distinguish the two, besides just looking at the overall look?
Hours and hours of experience, yeah.
They're looking at something, right?
Yeah, they are. But I think there's a gestalt that comes into play there that's difficult to capture.
The coho fins.
A really bright coho, one fairly easy way to distinguish them from the chinook, the same size, is if you look at the tail, and there are actually vertical vermiculations in there that the chinook does not have. It's pretty distinct.
Okay, that should be pretty easy to pick up if you contrast the image enough, which the system could do for you.
Yeah, and that would be when the water's clear, too, because call right. Come in later in the season when the water is very clear.
Yeah. And this is something we can migrate for. This is not a first step, but the runway install for the video compression would be leveraged for this. Yeah.
So you say this is a future thing, first question you said.
Years and years away, or?
No. Not years and years, because I already have part of this running.
yeah, there's that so middle school programming when I was still, I didn't even have a calculator in middle school.
So my next question is, it seems to imply that this program was looking at each fish, it was taking a measurement.
Yeah.
Does that get stored?
Yes.
So you can go back and say...
You're about 4 slides ahead of me.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't have a fish counting station at my office, so I 3D rendered one. I put 8 cameras up to get as many different angles as possible and one pointing down.
Wow.
This is a terrible blender, so... But,
in a movie theater now.
Yeah.
Surround sound.
Wouldn't that be nice? Okay. One chinook going upstream, steelhead going upstream, and a steelhead going downstream. The steelhead are actually enlarged rainbows. Sorry, couldn't find a steelhead model. You can see the 4 of the front-facing cameras. This next slide is a little hard to parse, but it's the rendered video output from those 8 front-facing cameras. So in real life, this video will be coming from real cameras. For this test run, it's coming from a virtual camera, but it's the same difference. Mm-hmm. It's super important that be either Sharp, Truce, or PowerBit Green. Not actually. It could be any color we can filter out.
Set me up, didn't you? Gary Green. All this. I'm sitting here going, yeah.
Wait a
minute. Yeah, it could be white. I know up in Alaska, to do some of their river counting, it looks like they put a white mat down or something. So I'm assuming that's well accepted.
Well, NVIDIA systems have also used, like, Idaho Power uses a black background to get better contrast with a shiny.
Yeah, as long as there's sufficient lighting on the fish, you can go black. Because that's super, I mean, you can filter out any color you want. You can even run the same algorithm as the video time compression. It's just going to get slightly less crisp edges. So a nice single color background is great, but it could be dealt with. You're just going to lose a little bit of resolution. Here's the output. I did not animate this myself. My system actually kicked this out. It's taking those nine camera feeds and the positional data and generating these 3D models from it. So next step, I'm going to get a fish tank and some goldfish and swap those 3D renderings out for real camera feeds. That's pretty good resolution. You can totally tell that's a Chinook. This next clip here, you can see here how easily you can get a fillet of the fish using a 3D model like this. Not one you can eat, but just one that you can measure. There's a little cruft here and there. The more cameras you throw in, the less cruft you get. But we're just looking for enough to get a profile down the body of the fish. A human would not be looking at this. This is just what's going on inside the computer. I can show you more of this later if you guys want to see. But yeah, it's a fairly detailed model. That's 1 centimeter resolution. The adipose fin is pretty clear on the Chinook. How big is it on a steelhead? Like 2 centimeters long?
The adipose?
Yeah.
Well, it depends.
Minimum size.
1.5, maybe.
1.5? Okay, so yeah, we need about 1 centimeter to be able to tell from unclipped. But you could also take a high-res photo to do that differentiation if you needed to. Yeah, metrics, like you said. I'm assuming your sampling size for species length year over year is probably like, what, under 1%, right? Because you're having to catch fish or find the dead ones. This would give you every single fish that's going up the Columbia and get you really granular data on the metrics so you can see if overfishing is trending the species down or anything like that.
It's not.
It's not.
Sorry.
Okay. Well, you get granular data to prove that.
Sorry.
You also see if power bait green affects the species running through. A couple other uses. Right now you have to, what, take the downstream smolt, knock them out, and put them on a table? Is my understanding? Something like that?
In a trough, not a table.
A trough? Okay. You could do it without touching them, basically. Some of the metrics. I don't know about all the metrics. I don't know if you take blood samples or more stuff than size. But you gain at least the size data.
We can get rid of Rick and this whole...
Not my goal here.
Rick's...
You could also maybe use this above water for seagull tracking and then shoot a paintball gun at them, which I think you should start with.
I'm talking about
non-toxic. Take that.
Non-toxic paintball. It's biodegradable. Biodiesel.
Biodiesel.
Biodiesel paintballs.
Fresh frag oil.
Yeah. So any questions? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so you mentioned that bull trout would be a difficulty. What's the difficulty?
Not a difficulty. I just don't have that on the algorithm there.
Oh.
Basically, the real algorithm would not be look at this one thing and see if it's the species or not. The real algorithm would be look at all these different sets of markers. So width, length, what we think the color is, which is, that's a little harder to quantify because lighting conditions change. But the bull trout's got that nice red spots, right? Generally,
usually.
You can pick those out easily. So length, profile, fillet sections, tail fin shape, speed can be might weight the thing one way or the other a little bit.
Use cross section rather than fillet section.
Cross section, sorry. Yes, we're not killing fish here. Welcome to the sushi bar.
You're going to need a take permit. Just don't do a fillet.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Sorry, cross section. Fin shape, possibly even eye size. I read that the pupil size is different between coho and chinook. I don't know if that's actually the case. All those things factored together gets you the species.
Same answer for tule and fall chinook?
Yeah, but I have not read up on those, how different they are and how hard they are to distinguish.
There's some difference there.
Yeah.
Especially the color. Like I said, you might have to retain one human counter to process the really, really tough ones.
Yeah.
And... yeah, the Jurassic Park algorithm was, do I expect this, and am I getting what I'm expecting? Yes, then we're good. This is, based on all these markers, what is it most likely to be, and if the surety is below like 99%, you kick it out to a human.
So what's the maintenance to keep it tuned? So are we getting rid of actual counters and adding FTEs to keep the system tuned, or?
I have no, that's a contracting
potential. How long, if you go in and tune your system to work, what's the expectation? Obviously, if it's new equipment, the expectation is different than it's two-year-old equipment. But,
yeah.
I mean, is it, because, I mean, for example, we have pit tag systems, and we have a staff that are monitoring all the time performance, and they see something out there that sends them out and says, okay,
yeah.
This is starting to get out of tune, got to adjust it.
I used to work for a computer maintenance company, and I'm thinking to do 14 counting stations, you probably need one person doing maintenance, just on the computers, just when a hard drive blows up or something.
Per station?
No, for the Columbia. Computers don't blow up that often.
No, they don't.
Nor do cameras.
That's,
and when you have a redundant system,
CCDs or whatever you use,
one per district.
They don't degrade either. So
yeah, I'm thinking maintenance. Yeah, maintenance would not be that big a deal. Aligning the cameras is a big deal, and I'm also working to try to keep everything on the window side.
Cleaning the windows,
yeah.
Trying to get the conditions optimal is going to be the thing.
Aligning the cameras is critical because you're a quarter degree off, and you just lost half an inch of resolution when you're in a far throw. So I don't know yet. I'm going to build the supporting structure as precisely as I can, and we could even throw in some sort of servo-based set screw and laser alignment if we needed to. It just depends. I've not built out the real physical hardware yet.
A few more years, we just get the app.
We'll take it for
pretty much, yeah, do this all on your phone. Actually,
there you go, right?
Done. See you guys later.
You guys have just got the fisherman's app.
Yes.
Identify your fish.
I mean, that's the other side of this. Fish counting in general, there's a lot of people that have worked on this exact concept in a lot of places.
Exactly.
Essentially, everybody does it. Everyone ends up thinking it's a great, unique idea, and they're going to hire someone to do it. And sometimes they spend a lot of money and get there. Sometimes they spend a lot of money and don't get there.
Yeah. Just the great thing is you would have a functioning proof of concept before you bought into this using real fish counting data at a real window. Yeah, John was telling me about the PhDs down in California that couldn't do it, that they were working off one video feed, and that is next to impossible. Like I think you were saying, the stacking of the fish, the nice thing about 8 camera angles is there are very few stacks of fish that one camera's not picking up. So you can get more accurate counts that way, too.
But your goal is to keep all the cameras on the window side?
That's my goal, yeah. I mean, anytime you have to punch holes in concrete or stick stuff in the water, it gets to be more of a maintenance
outside
problem.
Yeah.
So
your down-facing camera.
What?
Down-facing camera, because what are you doing with turbidity and so you lose visibility? Is that down, how critical is that down-facing camera?
Yeah. It's not critical. I can show you. Basically, if you took a flat piece of paper and stuck it in here, with only front-facing cameras, you get a pyramid. Because it's basically assuming there's something where anywhere it can see.
You don't really need that outside.
Right. As long as you're okay with just a profile of the fish and they're not too stacked, you can generally get away with just front-facing cameras if you have enough of them.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, you got a counter in there now who's not looking from that angle anyways.
So right. So you're upping your accuracy. It's just anytime the silhouette is distorted, which if they're too stacked in there, it could be... That's why I'm starting out with the down-facing, but I'm working to eliminate that in the virtual model.
Yeah, I think that they just bring up some practical aspects that looking down through that much water, you're not going to be able to see that much of it anyway.
Okay.
You're not going to be able to see the bottom of it.
In fact, what you're going to now is going to be much more accurate than we've had in the past, so linking these data to past data is going to be a bit of an interesting thing.
Yeah.
Because I think it's going
to
be
you'd have to do a concurrent study where you ran this and had a counter at the same time, and then you compare.
Put a fudge factor in there that she can go back.
Yeah. Are we worried more about where we're going?
Well, but everybody's going to. I don't care, but people are going to bring that up.
Yeah. Well, it's the comparison. I mean, the reason that the sort counts are so viable is that they're relatively comparable through time.
As soon as this comes online, we have the highest runs we've ever
right. Recovery.
Records!
Thanks, now.
Time to retire.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's like,
if we can just keep everybody watching the video.
Yeah. Don't need Gary anymore.
That's why you get stuff out of the middle. Because you want to recount alongside for a full season to capture the differences. That's why I kept it around so the fish counter can still do their job. They could be even moved even further out. Those are actually this big. In real life, it's this big, just so you can see it.
They just GoPros or something?
Not a GoPro per se, but something along those lines.
Just trying to figure out where to buy stock because they got the body cameras going on this.
Yeah. Super wide angle.
I think it's kind of late. It's already that ship left. Love to have been on it. So 4K is next?
Yeah. If we did this on 4K, we'd have to have really big processors. Doing it in 4K would be totally awesome. Cool. Yeah. But I haven't seen any 4K IP cameras. Well, you actually might.
You think so? For getting pulse bands or vermiculations on tails or things like that. Oh, you could. That's what resolution of that is. I thought 720 was more than I needed.
Final line. Please explain what 4K is.
It's more than 1080p. It's 4,000. So I think is it 4,000 lines of resolution?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, oh, okay. Versus 1080. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. But it's way out there.
I mean, every time you double the resolution, you quadruple the file size, roughly speaking. So it's a lot more data.
But things catch up.
Things do catch up, yeah.
Except for us and our account program, which hasn't caught up since 1938 or thereabouts.
Well, that's the idea here, though.
But we've been consistent.
That's right.
Yes, we have.
And that's the other great thing about the video counting is you can run that right alongside your current fish counters for a full season
I think
that's going to
be going on forever.
Get rid of it.
Sounds interesting. It's
sure
nice to invite
a
person to see what's going on.
I like
the centrally located
counter
sitting in Seattle.
Good. I'm glad I got something on the website. No, I just had to pull it up. I couldn't see it.
Oh, sorry. I put a lot of video on, so it's 200 megabytes.
No, really. It's doing it, especially for Sunday.
Well, thank you.
Thank
you. Looks like we're at the end of the questions. Appreciate it. That was informative.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you. So, Chris, I think we did to try to get
counts at every
test going on
every day. And we don't need somebody to come this
year. Hey, Robert, would you make sure that Bob Wertheimer's, and sometimes you can get a hold of me also, is involved in this too, accounting?
I'll give you a call, Greg.
Yes, I heard that.
So there must be a delay.
Your plan, your time frame, I guess, Tammy doesn't think people heard what we were just talking about before, Greg.
So we're hoping to have some of those mods that we talked about the last couple of bombs in place with the plastic on the floor to light that up a bit and some lighting changes and have the cameras here. And then hopefully we'll run a test for the month of March and the month of October so we won't interfere with the fish counting. And then we'll look at it after that.
So just to clarify, the Dallas North.
Dallas North, right.
That's what I told you. The first thing I said to the interpreter is, here we go right here. So, we brought up the O&M for associated with that study.
I want to see this.
So this is O&M.
So when you get this all set up, I want to have a look at it.
Okay.
Because I'm a little uneasy.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's mainly what we don't want to do is get this area so bright that we cause fish to go the wrong way.
Right.
So, you know, we want to keep fish moving through there, so there's a balance there a little bit, because we do see fish react to count station windows.
It might be good, too, to see it before we do anything as well.
At least I want to see how bright you end up with. If this looks like we're going to see the backbones of these fish as they go by. I'm a little concerned about that.
So why not have a test period more like in June and July so we can actually maybe see how it works?
Well, we could, but we're trying to figure out a way to actually have everything implemented, and then when the fish counters come in, move everything out of the way, and, you know, it's going to be pretty complicated that way, so we thought, well, all we're going to need is March and October when they're not there, and that'll give us enough information to know whether or not it's going to work.
Okay.
First things first.
Yeah.
Right? And he's already suggesting that he can tell the difference.
Just
body.
It's not that I don't believe him. I'm just curious how it really works.
We can run the first part of the system non-invasively. I mean, right now you get a camera on the back wall above their heads. We can do this with that. So you could run the test all year if you wanted to and just spot sample the counts. and see how accurate or inaccurate they are.
Yeah, because it might change with different species or different grounds.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the question.
Yep.
But yeah,
I think we could, that'd be a good idea for even QAQC too.
The point I was trying to make earlier, sorry to cut you off, was with the WASCO test, if their performance metric was going to rely on counts, the video might allow some potential cost savings for hardware evaluations. And maybe some support back and forth.
It doesn't sound like we'll have enough information to influence the next solicitation results on this if we're having to go out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking it was going to be better timing than that. Like November
16,
but
now
I'm
likely to
be on
that.
Makes sense.
Would you have an inkling?
Or should I say
and
it's about
it
time?
Means
really?
So.
Looking at how we do things all these years, all these years, it's the same.
We can lay that out for you and just think about that.
Okay.
All right.
Computing and cameras have come a long way.
Thanks, Bob, for that. Real time when you plan to implement it. Looks like we have one more, the McNary screen cleaning and McNary debris that Gary asked that we talk about earlier today. Left on here before we go to the subgroups. And so Carl's here.
Tammy, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So I think McNary screen cleaning, you sent out and you tried to talk on the phone at the last meeting, Carl.
Right. You're talking about the study that's going on for the juvenile flushing channel, basically.
And I think you're still, was that clear enough? We kind of punted to this meeting. People have always been concerned about whether they're going to have the opportunity to review and have their engineering staff review what you were talking about.
Right.
And I think we just wanted to touch on that here to let people know that right now what they're doing is scoping all of these things. And then the next phase, which will be during 15, would be plans and specs. And so that's when we normally go out for review.
That's great. As long as we have a process. That's the thing about that I'm just a little concerned from both districts that there are projects going on to renovate or improve things or change things that go to teams within the project and then go to, you know, plans and specs level. Those things, whatever they are, if they affect fish, should at least come to this group for, just a review or just to let us know. You
there's
know,
another element that as this is being scoped, you know, Carl had suggested maybe some additional air tubes,
air bubble systems.
Right. And as it's been vetted a little bit in the district, one of the things that we thought long term because of this uncertainty is to maybe still go and put back what was there, but he would use it infrequently, like in a year like this where we had the real problem. It would be there just as a backup, but he could rely more on the air
on the
bubble,
air bubble
if
rather than
flies
the
flies off on that.
The one thing that doesn't seem to die, I've tried to kill it so many times, it's kind of like a joint strike failure, you know, can't hide, can't turn, you know, can't fly, can't run, you know, but just tell Congress is going to buy four more of them now, you know, for what I don't know, full employment for Missouri or whatever. Well, it's kind of like the transition screen brush. It's kind of like the joint strike fighter, you know. It works for 10 years, and then it doesn't work for another 10 years. And we're saying you don't need a transition screen. It's, what is it, like 7% of the total floor area, even if the entire thing plugged up. And it won't because bubbles clean what, half or two-thirds of it. But even if it plugged up, it's not going to shut down the system. So why spend a fortune on it?
But it's all about not wanting to do a study as to whether that it would adversely affect fish condition, because that's in a very dewatered area at that tail end, and having the fail-safe allows us not to have to do that. In other words, we always have that. If we start to see issues, we could run it if we needed to,
but
we'll get there in the plans and specs.
We do, because I think a lot of us are sitting here going, okay, now what does that look like again? How much, you know, where's that screen at, and how does it look in comparison to the other screens?
There's still some elements that where air may not be as effective as a screen.
Wraparound type stuff.
Just little areas, but you know, if we're trying
to. It doesn't cut the grass
system,
that gets in.
Well, the air doesn't go there.
It doesn't.
We want to maintain what we have.
Yeah.
And but we may request, as Carl has, that our operation change unless we have conditions or we set that the brush usage. This is all stuff to talk about in the future. But anyway, yeah.
Well, another example too.
I think it's a good contingency to go ahead and have it.
We built the brushes in there because we couldn't get grassy stuff off of these bars, and you know, you wrapped around, and it just stays there. Now, Bonneville's got experience. Other dams have experience. Maybe we're finding that we don't need those bar screens so much. I don't know. You know, we still use them at Bonneville. Still seem to need them. But, and again, too, the other part of it is how much of the screen are we talking about here? And I can't picture it right now.
You'll have more discussions as we go through this year and as these guys start to develop these concepts.
Okay.
But I just wanted to give you that assurance that even at engineering, as we sort of told Carl the lab that we wanted engineering to back up, taking that out. And they said, how about some middle ground here?
Yeah.
You maybe don't want to use it, and maybe FPOM agrees you don't have to use it routinely. But you have it as a backup for, like, the troubleshooting, like this year when we were, cameras down, everything else. Make sure there's nothing there type thing.
Okay.
Another issue we're looking at, discussions just come up the last week or two, is the lighting. You know, one of the things they were considering was putting in these orifice lights, the circular or ring lights, you know, although the studies from
Granite
saying what these things do. And now we're beginning to wonder, one of the things we have a camera that we can drop down. It's the old pan and tilt we used to use. Now we got it portableized, you know, so you don't need the big truck. Yeah, and we're gonna start doing some work with that and see both daytime and nighttime. Do the lights help during daytime or not? Do the lights help at nighttime or not? Or do they actually make things worse?
There was a study in
there,
I think, wasn't there?
There was. Noah.
They did a ring study at McNary in one of the gateways.
Gordy Axel.
Years back.
That's the last data that we
and that was a positive
for
I thought it was
any
positive,
implementation.
Yeah, that's why it surprised me when the Lower Granite stuff came in negative.
Well, they're different projects.
Well, it didn't necessarily.
So
didn't seem like it made
the path we're on for the whole district right now as we implement is that all of the light fixtures, people are having a hard time getting replacement parts, so they need to be upgraded. And what we're recommending is that they stay within that range that in 2011, that was after McNary, that everybody agreed to, and put new fixtures in that stay in that range and have an on-off position. So if you want to do things differently day or night, or you just have a study that shows you don't want to operate them at all for a certain species,
switch.
We have that opportunity.
And these are LEDs.
Yes, well, we're looking towards going there. I just wanted to let you know that that's kind of where we're headed, because that's what we have approved at this point, and we're trying to have people be consistent, if at all possible.
So the difference between Bonneville is you guys are using the existing fixtures for the LEDs. You guys are putting in totally
new. Well, the new allows us to go back to incandescence, so let's go back to incandescence.
Why not?
The new what?
Spider traps. CRFET, basically the whole budget. The incandescent band that they've been going on
like
years.
Like humans.
Yeah. Incandescents are back available now, so you can go back to incandescence.
The problem with Mary really is the lights. The lights of Mary have to shine through this plastic thing, which is never clean. You know, we clean them every year, but they don't stay clean.
Oh, yeah. Bonneville's got that problem, too.
So one of the things, in fact, was actually my boss, who's electrician by trade, actually suggested, well, we got these beautiful bright LEDs, and we can put those things across the channel, shine those suckers right into that thing if it would benefit. So that's one thing that's
brought
to them, too.
That is the goal of a lot of the light fixtures, was to shine them at the orifice when it was open, and that would be attractive coming out of the gate well. So
that's the whole point. It doesn't matter how you do it.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, you can shine it any which way you want, as long as you don't overdo it.
We're not going.
I mean, I think the lux need to be similar to what Gordy was showing to be positive in his report. That's how you get there.
The other is whether you want to have a bottom of range, top of range. So it was a 50 and 300, I think, maybe. And so that's the other. You could have an off and then a low and a high.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we talked about
for the switch.
Some of the other Snake River facilities. So that if and when somebody found out something different and you wanted it, that that would be standardized.
You put a rheostat in there and just have it continually adjusted.
A little concerned that that wasn't simple enough and that, yeah. Well, anything that's not simple just doesn't seem to work quite as planned. So if somebody's telling someone to do 50, you know.
It's easy. That, it's just, yeah, I know. Just kidding.
But, you know,
Another interesting tidbit, so at AFF they presented these results, you know, you see the size selectivity issue at some dams and, you know, it happens year after year, you know, granted maybe one of them, Goose I think is one of them, but certain dams have just the opposite effect where, you know, larger fish go through the bypass system than smaller fish, as you'd expect, and McNary happens to be one of those projects they typically see larger fish going through the bypass system. So maybe that has something to do with these sort of odd results that we see. Different project, and you never know what you're going to get. Why you go, you see something different at Grant?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, I'd hate to jump off the, you know, because of what we see at Grant, I'm not sure I want to jump off the bandwagon and,
well, I think know, or off what, the path. Where it's pushing us with, or the engineering group as they try to do Carl's project is away from light rings and back to just a fixture shining pad. And that saves us money too.
Yeah, I don't. That's okay. Yeah, that's okay. So that, yeah, and I, you know, I'm not 100% convinced that
$10.7 million if they
did a lot.
Yeah.
Overall, and down the road, we may be doing away with that whole.
And that's how we'll be prioritizing.
Right, Scott?
That's how we'll be prioritizing when we get to this stuff for implementation. That said, why don't we talk a little bit about the debris management and where we kicked off the meeting. So, Gary, maybe just a few words.
Thank you.
Following words of wisdom, elements of the debris management plan.
Yeah, okay, so I drove up the river all the way to Canada, actually, this weekend. But on my way, I drove past... I get around.
Where are the enforcement folks?
Yeah.
Apparently, his collar's not working.
What's that? The Canada? I talked to him.
Did you look at the Sockeye Lakes on the Okanagan?
Border Patrol and I are just that.
They know him by name.
They do. You again. Anyway, that's beside the point. I shouldn't have said that. What I did see going past the Wanapum Pool was tumbleweeds. And I saw a huge number of tumbleweeds at... They're halfway up right now, and they're going to go up the rest of the way. Well, Dodson has mentioned at least some by May.
They're at the minimal operating pool right now.
Right.
If they get the rest of the core drillings go this spring, they'll fill the other.
Right.
And they'll send 6 inches.
And they're going to send all those tumbleweeds right down to McNary, and McNary's going to have another problem this year. So, what I'm worried about is, you know, what's our plan to deal with that? Is what we have in the
future? We actually do have a plan.
Okay.
You know, last year we actually started, I think, 2 weeks early or something like that. We're going to even start earlier, you know, probably like a whole month early this time, well before the fish really start moving, and just start cleaning the treasure axe. That one that we couldn't get the thing down, we found out why. There was a 35-foot log
stuck in
sitting there. Vertically as 1B or whatever it was. Yeah, or 2B. We found it. Yeah, you sent a diver down here. Find all kinds of things. But anyway,
submarine.
This is true. Yeah. But we're just going to start even 2 weeks earlier than we did last year. And last year, like I say, we're 2 weeks early. I think it's really weird, though. We raked a lot last year, probably more than we've ever raked before, but it was not the big year in terms of debris. I think it was a year before or 2 years before, something like that. We actually got quite a bit more out. So it wasn't, in terms of volume, it wasn't the big year, but in terms of descaling and stuff like that.
Yeah, and there's other reasons. I mean, we know that it isn't probably all McNary.
Well, Quantum especially may have contributed
there.
There's
some issues
there's five dams between us and Okanagan River. But yeah, I'm sure that, you know, we're just going to keep doing it. You know,
well, what I was looking for, I think the region,
more often.
I have a memo, and I thought I'd just send that to you guys, but it's very simple. All I'm saying is, based on what I've seen and based on the discussions we've had and the experience of 2014 for Sockeye and our discussions in here and our discussions in TMT, that I think it's kind of focused back on McNary to respond and to put together something that says, yeah, okay, we recognize that there's a pile of crap coming at us this year. Here's how we intend to hit it, maybe a little harder than we hit it last year, and you know, kind of in a measured way.
See, we had to bring in the boat just this year. You know, the year before we didn't need it because of the way the units were running, were able to sweep the trash just by using Crane 5 on a big stick, basically. We couldn't do that this year, so we had to bring in the boat. So I think we almost have to count on bringing the boat in from lower ground.
Do you guys have?
We're hoping to secure the boat this year. You will at some point, but we don't know if it'll be in time for. You know, your problem really starts when we pull the TSWs often in the summer, so that's early June.
That's when it starts. They suck a lot of.
You know, I mean, people are working on it. We're working it hard with the folks at this project to try to get a boat for the project since we're picking one up as soon as possible. I gave a brief update on that at the TMT, but what they found was that they couldn't buy one used. It has to be designed. There was all these constraints that
you could buy it off the shelf for about $600,000. We priced it out about 2 years.
But they're not on the shelf, so you can't walk into a showroom and pick one up. So someone has to be built for you.
Logging company and find one sitting in their pool or pond.
It has a 360-degree prop on the bottom. It's got to be highly maneuverable.
Yeah, well, those are, but I mean, they're probably not just core standards. You know, that's the thing.
Well, I think there's because of the huge problem we have with maintenance on older assets to allow us to pick up unknown assets that weren't new.
Right.
Maybe part of that.
Right.
In other words, you go spend money on something, you don't know what you're getting.
Craigslist isn't good enough for the core.
Over in the pile with everything else. So anyway, there is a process ongoing with your powerhouse staff. You will be getting one,
cool.
We just don't know the date. They are working on it,
cool.
They started working on it in October.
Oh, that's great.
But that said, that may not be enough for 2015, which is why we're talking about it here. And I think,
that's part of
why don't
plan.
You go ahead with,
I'll send the,
what you
memo,
have,
I really
and then there's
just
a need
for you guys.
For
to come up with whatever you want, you know, whatever you think it needs
better,
to fill the.
Maybe help you guys get
work
direction, support
can,
for doing.
We can work with operations and maintenance of the project to put together just a couple pages of a plan or a page.
Just lay it out, something
impact,
that we
bring it back. Yeah.
Gary, what does one of them do with their tumbleweed?
With their tumbleweeds?
Well, they
pass them down to McNary?
Send it down river.
Don't they have to race past them?
Did they get their hands on it ever?
No, they have no screens.
There's nothing. It'll go over the futures unit.
It doesn't get plugged into anything.
It'll go over the futures unit and
trash,
off to.
They have trash racks that they probably can clean, but I have one that you'll have to ask. I can ask Skiles what they do with it. I have one that just take them and dump downstream.
Well, that may be something we could ask them not to do.
To do, yeah.
Yeah, that might help. That would help, yeah.
If they really have a huge amount because of the drawdown, and they brought in a lot more than normal.
I have a bad feeling, though, that their featured unit, that's
just going to pass on
CFS right in the middle. It's probably going to pass.
But it's not on right now.
Not now.
It will
right.
be when they're.
They just floated the tumbleweed.
They have that.
They're all piled up on the shore. I drove up there. I mean, it was amazing. You couldn't get to the water.
That's the next pile.
It's supposed to go to
the
water.
The pile they just floated and brought down, though. If they're getting that stuff, because they were down on 17 feet.
Yeah, but when they bring that up to full
again,
pool,
yeah.
I think the future unit will be on.
Okay.
But your point is still valid. I mean, all those that end up on the racks that they actually get their hands on.
Yes. Right. Or as they said, can we burn some of them anticipating?
That would be nice. I mean, that's.
Because I was working with
them.
If you can get ahead of that, you know. But there were just windrows of them. It was amazing. I was like, oh my God, look at that.
I have some really neat photos to show you after the meeting of tumbleweeds in the Hermiston area. Last weekend, when we tried to.
Higher than houses.
We were driving down this dirt county road, you know. And unfortunately, we had the Ford Explorer, which is about yay high off the ground, instead of the Toyota Camry, which is about yay high off the ground.
Like,
and you wouldn't believe these pictures. You can't tell it's a county road.
Yeah.
Put that on the
I have all kinds of pictures of Priest,
right.
too. Well, Priest has this one kind of permanent TSW-type thing that passes fish.
Yeah, that's fish
too, and that sucker will pass tumbleweeds better than
that's what I'm talking about. The future units.
I got a video of that, too, if anyone wants to see it.
Yeah.
I got all kinds of videos of Priest and one of them.
Let's move to task group updates.
Okay, thank you.
We're planning to have two task groups after this meeting. I suspect we might want to take a lunch break first.
Are we skipping section 9?
Section 9 is all the FPT change forms. What we should talk about is when I think Tammy sent out a request for meeting for January 22nd, and whether that's going to work for folks. So
That's not so much my concern as I went looking for one of these, and I couldn't find it on the web.
Well, you have to talk to Tammy about
or
no, you
got
to talk to Lisa.
Lisa.
You got to talk to Lisa
right.
about that.
Yeah.
It's still a draft.
006.
Yeah, it's the only one that's
okay.
still a draft. It's
All right, thank you.
But it'll be posted by December 31st.
So, okay. yeah.
Mid-range operation water shock.
Before we move
well, essentially,
off
it's just during okay. low flows when you only have a 2 KCFS band, 13 to 15 KCFS, looking at ways to see how we can work into that.
So let's look at the schedule here for a second. You've got, Tammy's got a pile of stuff pending, approved, and new on the web. Are those going to change? I mean, I know there's some things that we've been talking about, like the MFR, which maybe that doesn't belong with the Fish Passage Plan. I don't know. But there's some things that that have been talked about. I'm sure. Are there any other change forms that are coming, or are we? Is that it? Can we just take that as a snapshot?
Whatever is on the web is what has been turned in, except for the one Trevor just sent.
There's one new one from Trevor.
Lomo call nurse.
Oh,
yeah.
So unless it's under potential change forms, the ones that are here have been drafted and they're ready for people to comment on.
Yeah.
The potential ones are ones that we have said that we thought we needed.
Okay.
That we
yeah,
should
right.
think
right.
about doing. And
yeah, so those could come in, but the ones that are already on there, then it's safe to start working on all those. We're not going to talk about them here again anyway. So. Okay.
January.
Well, that's the end. Yeah. But, okay.
So good. If people could review those before the meeting, it will help.
Bet. We'll get you a letter with or a memo with our comments on all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't know if I had a moving, what kind of a moving target did I have? As
yeah,
as
how much more was going to be added type thing.
Yeah, or
okay.
taken off.
Okay. Nothing ever comes on.
Unless you want to start approving them now.
Well, you know, I thought maybe you were going to do that, so. That's okay.
No, because with trying to do the subgroups both this afternoon, I think
yeah.
we need, don't you think we need to take a little lunch break here?
Yeah, I think, I'm not sure how much we're going to accomplish with Adele's subgroup. Because, yeah, Scott says zero,
yeah.
and I'm not sure that anybody's. I was kind of surprised to see it on the agenda.
Okay.
Because we talked
really
about how we need to turn
I know,
well,
we do, and you're right,
yeah,
but I just
yeah,
forgot about it.
Bad,
was,
we can take a
look at
the
calendar.
So when would you be ready?
February?
Are you ready?
No.
I
mean,
it's
probably
only
going to take like
15
minutes.
I am merely the
I'm ready right now.
I've been sitting here a while.
I'm ready right now. I'll let you know.
Why don't we take a 10-minute break here, let people use rest. And then we'll move into the subcommittee for noise.
Well, hold on a second. Do we finish in terms of task group updates? I got one thing I want to add on.
Okay.
Oh, wait, there's actually task group updates.
Yeah, we haven't done those yet.
Oh, sorry.
So how long is that going to take?
Before you
need a watch.
Go ahead.
Well, just for Pinnipeds, as you know, there wasn't an AFEP talk on Pinnipeds this year. So we'd like to update the group on what occurred this last year and what we've been seeing this year next FPOM meeting.
Okay.
And then after, we'd like to have a subgroup, get the group together, and talk about sampling design.
Okay.
As you know, we've currently been doing a census. We'd like to get some feedback on that because this is, I'm looking at the numbers, people, and there's a lot of zeros associated with this that we can't support in the future. So we want to work with the region and kind of shaping. We're working on some kind of random sampling design. I know this is definitely not a sort of a G, but we need some feedback on this. We want to make sure we're not missing any of the criteria that we're out there trying to get
okay.
as a region.
One of our big constraints that we're not real flexible on is the permitting process for the lethal
right.
removal.
Right.
That's
we
kind of
right.
our major fence, and then other than that, we can be near, you can get a little bit more flexible.
Yeah, yeah. We need to make sure we have the right people in the room so that the subgroup needs to be involved.
And that's why I bring it up. I want to make sure we have the right people. We talk about this next month, and some of this is more potentially for 16 than 15, but if we can make
okay.
changes in 15 too,
okay.
there's a lot of zeros associated
yep, yeah.
with this monitoring program.
Sure, sure. That sounds good.
So you want that
yeah,
in
we'll
January
that, yeah.
or February?
January. So we'll get
will
a
we be able to get everyone here in January?
If we don't, we'll do a follow-on in February then.
Okay.
We'll do at least, the, we'll give the data update, provide that during the meeting itself.
Yeah, yeah, do the meeting.
When was this supposed to happen in the spring?
That's the task group.
January?
Last year?
No, no, no. What data were we reviewing?
No, no. When you're talking about a memo was sent out.
I never sent anyone.
Well, that's what it says here.
Tammy? Memo was sent to FPOM regarding the
oh, that's
yes,
yeah,
that was
okay.
a long time ago. You see how often we update the task groups here?
So this is that really old memo.
Yes.
So you're going to send out a new improved one?
No, what we're going to do is we're going to review the data, and then we're going to review our sampling plan or sampling design and what we're doing out there, because it's not sustainable.
When you, when you do the minutes, could you please put the date that memo was sent out so I can find it?
I don't know who's on the test.
It's probably on,
Who's on the task group? Vanderloo leads it.
I know.
And then...
Who are the...
We don't have any solid team members.
I'm just wondering if there's anybody in here who's...
Well, I think the states and tribes need to be there. I think Oregon needs to be there.
No, I'm not going to be on. I'm going to send Doug.
That's it. That's what I mean is there's people in... People who are not in the room that are on that. That's what I'm talking about.
I do get that.
So they need to know about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm trying to make sure we focus on it for at least 5 minutes here so we get the feelers out to the right people so they're there.
We're good. Yeah, absolutely. I knew it was complex.
I'm going to make it stand out so we can find that old memo.
It is under the Pinniped Task Group link on the FCOM website.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you get Dave Wills' like retirement post email, I hope you're going to keep sending him the FCOM.
Just and if you want to know who's on the task group itself, the last task group meeting we had was September 18th, 2013. So I have the list of people who attended that.
Okay.
That is also on the Pinniped task group link on the FPOM website.
Hey, are you going
to
put that?
I will look at that when I get to a computer.
You bet. We'll make sure those people are all aware that we're going to
just
make
suggesting that there's a lot of information.
A fancy pants smartphone.
We just finished the Pinniped task group. Moving on.
Good.
All right.
So
is there whatever. Bon ops?
Yep, bon ops. Not to cut John off.
So AFF Moz has moved from you to the project, is that correct?
Well, I mean, it's pretty much winding up with, you know, making things semi-permanent. And
yeah, I think that one's winding down. But the Bon Ops one, I think, Scott?
About
done. We got some things to talk about.
Talk about shortening when it's in effect.
Yeah, that's a summer issue. So I put together kind of a change form on that a while back. I don't know if I even sent that or not. We need to dust that off. We'd rather do it in the committee than...
Okay.
So do you want to have a meeting in early January then, before the FPP meeting?
Sure. Yeah, Lisa and I have been working on a new change.
Okay. Get a proposal out there, I'm nervous.
Do you want to pick a date?
Working
without us again.
Well,
after
we're having the Pinniped task group meeting after the January FPP meeting.
How long is that one going to be?
I don't know. How long would you like that one
to take? I don't think it'll take that long, but I want to certainly get people's input, and I think there's change coming, and I want people aware of it. I want buy-in on the changes.
Sure.
Just make sure we're meeting the criteria.
It might take us an hour or two.
Changes that are coming on the memo?
No, they're not in the memo. It's what we'll discuss.
That's what we'll get.
That memo had included Bjorn's plan for the future, as it was supposed to.
We'll make sure it's updated.
Excellent.
All right.
Okay, anything else for either of those? Bon ops or AFF mods?
So, John, did you have do I need to contact the research to see you? Is there any still outstanding issues AFF that you need to take care of? I mean, do we have kind of a closeout saying, this is what we did, everyone happy now, we see problems. Have we ever done kind of a close the loop?
No, we're kind of lacking on closing the loop.
We have a close the loop.
But, I mean, as far as...
Why are you pointing at me?
I'm pointing at Christian.
She's very close. Oh. You know what that means.
But as far
okay,
as
I'll call Chris Goddell and see what he thinks.
As far as what we've got for an operation and, you know, the modifications that we made physically and the improvements, I think... That's about it.
I think that we were, well, you know, what I would say is last year looked pretty darn good with a lot of fish in the river. Let's look at another year, see how it goes.
Yeah.
That's mostly what I'd say is, like, do you want to close the kind of like an after-action report? So that means they actually did.
Once Jeff totally screws the thing up again, then we're going to start over. So
that's our plan, you know.
I'll put that on my
just
list.
Just shut the gates and be done with it.
That's fine. So I will talk to my research and see if there's anything that's...
Yeah, see what they're thinking, if they have issues with the recovery tanks or
anything else, that's where it comes from.
Well, there's a change form too to attend to get to that. I'm sure we'll at least get their somewhat attention.
Oh my god, I asked for input early on, but
I
no,
sent you,
no.
I sent you input. I
thought that was really good.
You little redhead girl.
Oh. No input, so that's what you get.
Okay,
that's
little Red Riding Hood. I'll send my email to you again.
Oh no, you wanted to go back this to. Do you remember his email?
Lunchtime.
Like, I don't know what he's talking about.
He's breaking
this
down.
Isn't how we operated.
Oh, don't make me get mad.
Two redheads going at it. Let's get out of here, guys.
Lunch break?
This is dangerous.
Well, Trevor thought we could introduce the noise impacts group here just in short order.
Well, let's, are we done with that poem? People that don't want to
there
do the task group can bail, and we can take a 5-minute break so people
can
come back. And then it should only take like 20 minutes, and then we can go to lunch after that.
Okay. Do you have some first quarter?
I'm fine with that.
This way, operation.
Have left the conference. Our participants have left the conference. Jerry Beers has left the conference.
We have to wait for this thing to quit.
Only two. It's a carry out from Faber's 15 Mile Creek work from last FOM and then to figure out. We should be extending
the yeah, I'd say all the way through the winter.
One hour a month.
I think you're saying 1 hour a month.
What is that?
So I can justify mine easier than you can justify yours.
Yeah, here's a little topic.
92% survival.
Through where?
In the Canary?
That's McNary.
No, we're talking John Deere to Dallas.
Yeah, but there is information. 101% survival through Germans at Dallas.
When was that done?
Beyond that, there's more information showing lack of fish passage in the Germans being only passing around.
Right, exactly. They don't go unless we they turn them on.
No.
It's the Dells winter. We left the transducers in.
Oh.
We found they didn't move all winter until we opened up the sluiceway.
Oh. So there's. Thanks. You, said you put that dam in there, you stopped all that movement?
We survived. We protected them all winter.
Gave them a sanctuary to spend time.
Yeah, exactly.
They were totally frustrated. I didn't know. Can you get in their heads?
I was there talking to them.
Oh.
With a little fish caught.
Well, I think that what Bob's talking about is probably just February, right?
Yeah. We were to just open in
just
February. Just.
It's only 5.7
or 3.
No,
or
that's not even that. If you just open
one game.
Unit 1.
Well, that
about 2K.
That deserves a discussion though from an engineering standpoint and
about
impacts.
And,
yep.
Yeah.
We need to look at the conveyance of fish through there. But yeah, that's if we could do that, then Scott would sign off right away.
Because we'll back off the other months from 5 to 2. And trade some water?
I'm still trying to figure out how you can get credit for this, is what I'm still shocked about. Something we always did, and
well,
then we took it away, and then we're going to get credit for it again.
We never did it in the winter.
We did.
Not January,
we did.
What, off like ice crash snow during the winter?
We did.
I don't think we did. No, we never did it the winter.
There's ice that really did.
All winter long.
It's been before 93.
Way back.
Then they built the dam in 053.
That's why I was there.
That's why we're
aggressive non-breach actions.
Yeah.
There you go.
Anyway. So if we were to get a couple weeks open, end of February, and then Faber could be able to tell us if it benefited this 15-mile creek from that weather. I ask that we've got a couple weeks in February with that.
Yeah.
Would you be able to see that? We felt that you would.
So let's put this is
change form.
Or perhaps a coordination form since you don't want to make it permanent in TFTP yet.
What's that?
A coordination form as opposed to a change form. Because
coordination?
You're not going to make it permanent in the FPP just yet.
Right,
that's true. Well,
probably some coordination.
You think a change form is going to be permanent in any year, particular year?
Really?
Well.
Like the Bonneville. On the lab, how many years did that take us to finally work that one out? It becomes a change form. Or not.
Three.
We should at least start with
a coordination
temporary
fine, whatever you want to call
option
it.
Or operation.
Yeah.
But going on to the Faber's data and stuff,
yeah.
There's also these adult overwintering studies that are going on,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We do
and
have
to me, if it was like some objectives that were overlooked through the SRWG, that there's so many objectives that you have in there, this kind of got overlooked.
And so there's...
Had you been there?
Well, yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't change anything. But, you know, how do we capture that? I mean, there's more value than just the pit tags that are out there is the point. Because spammers rely on pit tags alone, but we've got action tags that are out there.
We do.
There's RT systems that are out there, so we've got to make sure we
kind of
tie the SRWG loop is fine, is all I'm saying.
So we're talking about next February.
Well,
because those RT fish won't be there another year.
Yeah.
There's an opportunity, right?
Yep. Yeah, otherwise then you're back to pits. Which would be nice to have a pit tag detection system in that exclusive way as well.
Yeah, and I talked to Faber on that too, because he was thinking that they could probably get something in there. And I did mention that the Tagus already came out and looked at it, and it just wasn't...
I'd like to look at Ledgerwood's...
He was going to come and look at it.
The flex two. I know there's steel in there, so there's some issues, but for that and the bottom of the sluice wave.
If you put it the absolute outfall, right, you could actually have it below the concrete as the water passes over, right?
Yeah,
you've got your loop at the very end.
Just taking the entrance, but maybe that's a better spot.
Entrance would give you more information about where they're coming into the system, but if you're just worried about what's coming downstream.
The entrance is a lot smaller.
We tried that environment before.
The entrance?
How much did we spend on that last year? $1.5 million for 10 minutes?
For what? What was that?
It was not recommended.
No. Not that.
We tried detection.
Well, if you... It might work. No.
That's
the next step. I'll call
Ryan. How about the next step is you draft the NRC, we'll submit it, and we'll give that until the first week of January for comments.
Okay.
And then we'll move forward.
We were there early.
And I would seriously suggest having some internal action agency coordination at the same time.
So you can kill it immediately.
Well, I don't
want to do that. A few items are starting to come up.
So you want to work with Oregon on that, Bob? Like that.
Yeah,
was it a joint thing or?
Well, it's a get division involved in.
What are you talking
about? MOC for ice crash this way operations.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, somebody needs to put the data together for the benefits, you know, what we're seeing for, at least for the 50-mile Mill Creek stock and potential benefits for Snake River B run, so we can get some credit for this.
Yeah.
What's that?
Well, I mean, this would be
worth 3% at
least,
right? It's about this overwearing study.
Well, this was only 0.25 or 0.5.
Yeah, we might want an SRWG check.
We'll
get
Cluxton out of retirement and get him
to offer some funds.
If we wanted to test something, you know, with active tags.
Or assess the active tags that are out there, or whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
Well, we should be collecting the data anyway.
Yeah.
I would look at what we have, but future study of an active tag, I don't think so.
But no, what's going on?
Yeah.
What's that?
There's fish out there.
For this year. I know enough about how these things go to know that we're not going to move that fast.
Very soon.
Just about died trying to get that thing open a couple of years ago. That was probably the worst nightmare I've ever been through.
We just need to get Scott all these
worst ones.
What's that?
There have been worse nightmares.
There has, but that was, Jason just about killed that.
Of course, he got promoted up.
Yes.
How about this one? No. 3 weeks later, how about this one? No. Okay.
So like I suggested, you bring some coordination would be nice.
That worked.
Okay, so I'll put together an MOC, and then I'll route it through you guys for comments.
Or
whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll think about nicely too. I think we'll be hot picks.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
We'll let planning
folks take it up to the vision. It's all about horse
trading. Not a problem.
Well, and it's, there's got to be ways. There's water elsewhere, there's excess water being used elsewhere. This is a trickle.
Oh, there is. This $1 million trickle.
You'll be sticking his finger in.
Gotta be away.
For those that are interested in the noise, why don't we just give 5 minutes for those that aren't to
run.
And then the rest of us will stick around and initiate that.
No much.
After this, we're going to the brewery.
So what time do you think that'll be?
I had put 2:30 on the agenda, but I was figuring out we have this room till 2. I'm headed straight there.
I gotta go handle some chum issues. And I'll be there.
John Day, originally, and whatever, going through the snoop. Where's the single buy-up? We should do that. Well, I agree. It's a great idea. But where's the say we should do it? How do we have to do it? You think it's a good idea that you're telling me just as it is?
Hammer.
How much you want to argue with Trevor?
Tammy, I'm going to kill your... There's too many other topics here.
Oh, yeah, here, stop. Okay.